You are listening to the annual Post-Dictions show, plus some predictions included.
Episode 118 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is December the 29th, 2013. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this, like the Phoenix, is my cyclical brother, James Furlough. That's right, it's almost New Year's. That's long and short of that joke. You're quiet. I can't hear you. What'd you do? You went away.
I'm here. The Phoenix, huh?
The Phoenix. You will die and be burned and, you know, be born anew.
Rise again.
With the new year, yeah. The ball drop, that sort of thing.
So the rules are, it's already passed, so we're not allowed to talk about it? Because I was going to ask if you got anything good.
For Christmas? No, you're allowed to talk about it. Yeah, man. So number one, I'm wearing one of my actually, this is pretty funny. This is my
you
birthday
got a beard
present.
For Christmas?
No, a mustache. No, sweatshirt. I got this for my birthday on Christmas Eve. My birthday's in August.
Happy birthday.
I know. It was cool. It was perfect timing. I know, but it's nice. I really like it. So, yeah, for everyone who doesn't know what I'm looking at, I got a fraternity letter sweatshirt, but it's cool because it's my family line colors. There's a whole backstory behind it. Not important. Nobody cares. But the cool thing I did get, or the other cool thing I got.
An Apple television.
Oh, baby. Check it out.
Dang.
I know, man. Big time. And you don't want to know what? I didn't get it because I was a little bit worried about how well it would fit into my whole ecosystem and everything. And it's awesome. It's really cool. I almost don't need a Mac at this point. I mean, if it were not for the fact that I like to program still, literally no point in having a Mac. It's done. I mean, it's honestly...
And assuming you have an iPad or something like that, right?
Yeah. You have something to surf the internet with, and, you know, now you've got something to watch TV on. It's great. It's really cool. And actually, it's really cool because, like, you know, one of the features that I really wanted was the AirPlay of the extended desktop. It's not perfect because the lag's pretty bad. But it's survivable, and since I've got two screens right here, having the Apple TV just like routing sound and everything through it, you know, and using it for different like AirPlay things, it actually works really well. I am going to get one of those like HDMI switches, but that way I can plug in all of my various cool computers in at the same time, and I can switch it really easily. But the Apple TV will control this monitor 90% of the time is my prediction. So pretty stoked on it. What about you? What'd you get?
I got a couple things. One, I'm wearing this sweatshirt that my wife got me, and then I've got a new shirt. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh man, you've been asking for one of those for a while.
I know.
It says Google, everybody, in classic Google colors.
I wanted one ever since I interviewed with them for a job and didn't get it, which was lame. Because I was like, and I told people, I was like, if they hire me, I'm ordering one that night.
That night,
and they ultimately did not, so I didn't have the shirt. But there are certain companies that I'm a fan of. I'm sure, you know, we've talked about this. And not only do I want to buy their stock someday, so I can say I'm an owner and give all sorts of disclaimers, but I was like, it'd be cool to wear, you know, have some apparel saying that I'm a fan of them. So, like, I've got a Foursquare t-shirt, I've got XKCD t-shirt, and I have a Google t-shirt, I've got a Disney t-shirt. You know, I'd love to round it out with, like, Apple and Twitter and Facebook. Maybe even Square, that'd be kind of cool.
A square shirt?
Square t-shirt, but yeah. And
maybe
then the other one I got.
Pants. Like,
yeah. And then the other one that I got is decidedly old school, is a pasta, I'm going to call it a maker. You make the dough and then it flattens it and cuts it and makes pasta strips.
Yeah, one of those fettuccine makers. Those are awesome. I love those.
Yeah, yeah. So old school, right? But
very Italian of you.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
That is very cool.
That was good. The other thing that we did besides getting stuff is we treated ourselves to a couple of movies.
Nice.
We actually saw a couple.
47
yeah,
Ronin. Please tell me you said saw.
No, that was
nobody saw 47 Ronin. Not even me, and I really wanted to. I feel bad for that movie.
So I was coming out of a movie theater today, and apparently that movie got out at the same time. And so there was someone else coming out there like, man, I cried a couple times during that movie. So,
during Ronin 47 Ronin?
Apparently. Dude, I don't know. I was like, all right.
The reviews for it are terrible.
Really? Which, well, yeah, the trailer of it was terrible.
I know.
So,
I don't know why. It's one of those dumb movies that, like, tickles me and the fact that it's really bad kind of, or the reviews are bad, since my expectations at the perfect
place. Nice. So the ones that we did see, we saw today Saving Mr. Banks.
Nice.
This afternoon. Yeah, it's good.
With the Disney and
Mary Poppins. Yeah, yeah, awesome. Awesome. Have you seen that one?
I have.
Still
my
new.
Roommate is a big fan of the Disney, and so she dragged me along to watch it.
So I read the Disney biography, or listened to it on Audible. You should check it out. It's like 40 hours of audio. So super interesting story, and they do talk about it in the book because it was a big deal to get it, and I'm watching this movie. I'm going, yeah, that stuff happens. And, you love the little references here and there, like the Florida map in the room. Yeah. It's like, yes, nice. And then, because that hadn't happened yet, in the time of things. So that happened closer to his death. It actually wasn't – it happened – technically they bought the land, and then he died, and then they built it afterwards. And so
Yeah, I love the scene in the movie when she grabs the Winnie the Pooh doll, and she just apologizes to the author of Winnie the Pooh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was cool, and I loved, when they how do I say it without I don't know if it's important to give it away or not, but how they let you know that it's based on a true story.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That was cool. I really appreciated that. Yeah. I thought it was,
yeah, you're just, because you watch it and you're just like, no way.
Yeah.
No way someone's like this. And it's
the fact that you realize they actually toned it down a little bit for believability purposes.
Uh-oh. You froze. It's not me, is it?
I hate Google sometimes.
Okay, it was you. You're like in twice.
They decided to sign me out of my account right then.
All right.
It's one of their random, hey, we want to make sure it's you. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, when it happens to me, just relax.
Just
I'll
keep going? Okay. You know what my favorite part about that is? Is that Chrome holds on to my name and password. So literally, they signed me out of the account, so I have to sign back in. But all of my credentials are hit there. I just hit log in, and I'm right back. It's like, what did you even do there? What was the point of that? How would that have stopped a criminal? Sometimes.
The other movie that I saw was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Walter Mitty, yes.
I'll be honest. I almost wrote a blog post about it. I decided not to, but... it made me want to like go travel somewhere, just be like, what am I doing with my life? And you know what I mean? Just like,
I don't want to brag or nothing. But I found the movie kind of edifying in that everything he was talking about and everything they were dealing with. Like I get to see parts of the world. I get to go on these little adventures, and I get to adventure like in my hometown and my home city, and it's like, I mean, and honestly, the best part about it was like we went and saw it on Thursday, And on Monday night, the Niners won the football game. It was amazing. Great victory. If anybody of you had seen it.
Spoiler alert.
And as we're sitting there watching this game and, it's like almost coming to a conclusion, our cousin Timmy looks at me and he says, "Hey, want to go to Pleasant Hill tonight? It's like 9 o'clock at night. I have work in the morning. It's going to be Christmas Eve." I'm in like, "Where's Pleasant Hill?" He goes, "It's about an hour and a half from here." I'm like, "What's in Pleasant Hill?" And he's like, "Some friends, they want to hang out." And I was like,
"Wow.
All right, sure. Yeah, let's do it, man." So we drove an hour to end up. We actually got to go to a place a little bit closer. Drove up an hour. I had friends that were living in that town. He had friends that were living in that town. We all hung out until 2 a.m. when I drove my crew back home. I got to bed at 4 a.m., woke up, went to work, and was just like, that was a heck of an adventure. That was incredibly fun. I'm so glad we did that. And then like 2 days away later, you know, and it's like, but you know, this year for me, I watched that movie and I'm like, okay, it's cool. And this is the best part. You know, it's got great music in like, everybody loves the soundtrack. Yeah. I've seen most of those bands live. Which is just like, this is like the coolest movie I've ever watched. This is basically saying, hey, your life's pretty all right, you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. Well, it's funny. I found myself just being like, you know, we did spontaneously decide to go to Las Vegas and then to Disneyland or Disney World, you know, in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, so it's not like we don't get out there and, you know, and just decide to do things. But the dream that I have and there's part of me, I'm totally scared of this, which is partly my like apprehension behind it. But I've read so many articles about this that I just want to try it, where you have someone that, where they're like, they have a one-way plane ticket to say like Spain. And then a month later they have a one-way plane ticket leaving Moscow, Russia. And that is the extent of, you know, and they have a backpack.
That's crazy how often people do it. I mean,
I know. And I'm like, that's so like, that's very scary to someone like me who, plans out like his life to the minute. And, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, just think of the adventures. Either like that'd be an amazing adventure or super boring. You know, you got to set certain rules, right? Like, well, I'm not just going to hop on a cab or on a train and, oh, look, I'm here.
Yeah, that would be really lame. That would be a waste of a month. that would be terrible.
But yeah. So that was what we did. But you know what? Now it's time to talk about next. Well,
yeah, you know what? I was going to say, dude, we are not here to talk about.
By the way, I have my large glass of eggnog.
Is it spiked or is it?
No, unless you count soy milk.
I'm gonna say you're gonna get all hopped up on sugar.
I know. And then I got water behind me to chase.
That's all right. It's probably a good show to not be boozing on because we got a lot to talk about. And it's.
I don't know. Could sometimes I know, you know, actually, the right amount.
You know what?
Is around half a glass.
Yeah.
It's good. There are positive effects.
Speaking of the, oh my goodness, oh, I had, yeah, I'll have to tell you that story off the air, not because it's not appropriate, but it's just not, it's, we got other things.
It's not appropriate because it's not on topic.
Exactly. So
you know,
this
that's
week,
not what we just did for the last.
Exactly. Well, that's what we do with the first in the beginning. Like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera and the future and the past of it. Specifically, by corporate opera, we mean the soap opera of corporations dealing back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course the technology they are developing. But before we get into the heart of the show, and this is an important one for James to do because we'll probably talk about this company. James has a short. Disclosure or three or two or some number to throw at us.
Oh, I think I already gave out my movie disclosure. Oh, well. That's okay. I work for HP, but I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
Nice. So if we predict anything about them?
I promise not to use any insider information. Everything I mentioned will be public knowledge, mostly because it's the only knowledge I have.
Yeah, that's what he says. this year. So if you want to follow us throughout the week, you can do that. I'm on Twitter. My handle is at Matthew D. Furlow, and I'm also on the Instagram. My handle there is NextWiggin4, like Ender's Game. Check me out. Follow me.
I am at James Furlow on Twitter and jamesfurlow.com.
Nice, nice, nice. So, yeah. That's pretty cool. If you want to get even more information about the show, all the articles and stuff that we talk about, which I'm not even sure we're talking about any this week, but just in general, it's a great resource to go through and check stuff out. The website, it's furloughbros.com. We got links to the podcast. We got links to the YouTube. We got links to the show cuts. So obviously, if you're listening to, if you're hearing me now, you're listening to one of those three. And if you're looking for the other two options, go to the website. It's right there for you. Also, you know, yeah, basically a giant history of what's happened in the tech industry for the last two years. It's a great little website, and it's got really cool pictures and stuff. And
I try.
Yeah, it's nice, actually. It's a super clean design. It's good. I'm impressed by it. You know what we do weird? I'll be going to be honest to you. And there's on the bottom of the website, if you want to go older to newest, you have them switched to the normal, like, way that you do it. Normally newer is on the opposite hand of what it is. I can't remember what it is. But it's, let me scroll to the bottom here.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Older's on the left.
So older, yeah, you put older on the left. Usually you put older on the right, right?
I don't know.
I think you do, and newer on the left. I think. Oh. I don't really remember. Now I'm all weirded out by it. I'm all confused. Whatever. It's not important. Everything else on the website's great, though. Just go there. And you can figure that little thing out. Trust me, it's not a problem.
P.S., the Bard and Legolas picture is probably one of my favorites in recent history.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like doctoring some of those up. I'm glad that you liked the cute versus creepy for uncanny there.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. Oh, holy cow. So this year, or this episode is probably my favorite episode that we do throughout the year. This is our prediction show. We basically do a really brief history of like what happened in 2013. We compare those notes to what we thought was going to happen in 2013, mm-hmm. and then we say what we think is going to happen in 2014.
And you actually went back and looked at all this and what we actually predicted as well, right?
Yes, I listened to the entire show and I took really close notes.
Man, you were awesome.
Yeah, and holy cow.
I double your pay this month. Congratulations.
Dude, well, you did it last year. That was the one thing that became clear during the show was that you took great notes and I took none. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it seems fair.
Now the rules are reversed. Well,
yeah. Fair enough. And I'm actually really glad we did that, re-listening to the show, because it was way more interesting. And I'll be honest with you, dude. So last year, I gave myself the critical grade of a C+. If we were just going point for point, we got about 75% right. But then we graded ourselves on a curve because we figured we were predicting the future. So we gave ourselves an A-, which is pretty generous. That's a pretty generous curve, I'll be honest. I was like, that's – wow.
Depends on the science class you take.
Right. But I'm sitting here thinking, I can't believe we said that out loud. We should have just gone with the – I'm pretty sure we got an A-. A-, sounds about right. You know what this is crazy, though?
Here, so we got to be honest.
This is not even a curve. We nailed this year. Holy cow. Pretty much company for company with one product category that we got absolutely horribly wrong. I mean, just not even in the ballpark of like,
all right.
It was ridiculous. We will get to that. But before we do, video games. It was video games. We did horrible. Horrible. Wow. We basically predicted the exact opposite of... Yeah, I know. But we predicted the exact opposite of what would happen. We said, no new hardware from anybody except Valve. Which is just... I don't even get it. How did we miss so bad? But anyways, so one of the early things that happened in 2013, this is a big one. AT&T finally decided to support FaceTime over cellular.
Finally.
It may not be a big deal, except it seemed like a really big deal at the time. And this is the big deal about it, actually. Because 2013, or end of 2012, you and I were doing the video chatting to each other or sending video clips to each other over text messages.
That's right.
And then FaceTime came out over cellular. And I think that trumped it, which is interesting because that comes into our predictions. So that's why that's important to bring up. Facebook rebuilt newsfeed a bunch of times, basically is all they did. Oh, and they came out with the HTC One Facebook phone.
That was a big deal
in that we thought it was a big deal. It was not a big deal in that nobody bought the phone. Google, I mean,
had a big year.
But it's like they opened shops up in Best Buys. They launched their new algorithm for their search algorithm, which was like a huge deal that nobody knows about.
That was the Panda one, right?
Yeah.
Those things really only matter if you're trying to game the system. If you're playing it straight, you know, whatever.
If you're just Google searching, well, it affects you if you're Google searching because you get better results. But it's designed to be...
As long as Wikipedia is always in my top three, they can do whatever they want because that's the link that I click on.
That's a good point. Obviously, Motorola came out with the Moto X, which was a big deal as they are owned by Google
now.
Yeah,
that's a huge
deal. More cities got Google Fiber. They launched the Nexus 5. They launched the new Nexus 7. Google Glass went into full on.
I'm excited to talk about that later.
Yes. And they continue to work on driverless cars. I don't really know of anything else that they did that was. Android 4.4 got launched.
Yeah,
Android. I mean, this is kind of did what they were going to do. BlackBerry launched BlackBerry 10, and it was terrible, but they survived. And you know what I realized? I actually listened to our entire conversation. You know, we both predicted that they would survive for the exact reason that they survived, which was basically they're not bleeding enough money to die, and nobody will buy them.
Boom.
And we were astounded at the fact that we were predicting they would survive 2013. And it's funny, at the end of 2013, I am still astounded. I can't even believe it.
They came so close.
Microsoft, its first full year of Windows 8. They bought Nokia. That was a pretty big deal.
Windows 8, man, what a... I'm biased, though. I'm frustrated that it's not as good as it should be because that actually has a material impact on my life, and it just bugs me. Because, I mean, I am now – the way that HP is structured, I am now a part of its – they call it PPS, which is like your printers and personal systems group or something.
Yeah.
So I am a part of – the laptop and I believe the tablet group as well. And so I'm a part of the LaserJet and then the toner group, and you know, that has its own, we have its own P&L and stuff like that. But in that larger context, we're there. And when the man in charge of that division, whose boss is Meg Whitman, you know, is making decisions on what he wants to do, it's like, oh, and here's this group that is not doing fantastic. Great. No money for anybody else to go off and do cool things. So,
yeah.
It's frustrating. And the hardware, I am biased, I will admit it, but the hardware's good. And I get so frustrated because I want to recommend HP products to people and go, look, HP's made some really cool stuff this year. But it all runs Windows 8.
It runs Windows 8.
And I really struggle to say, yeah, man, go out and get one of those new tablet convertible things because they look cool. They just don't work, and it's not hardware's fault. Though I did last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, I got to play with Leap Motion for the first time.
Oh, yeah? That was cool.
Because HP has an exclusive dealio for like 6 months, which is like nothing in the PC world. To actually have it embedded inside the laptop.
Right.
Yeah, it's not worth spending the money on.
No, you got to use a demo version of it in the Best Buys, and it was some game that you were supposed to, couldn't figure out how to play it. It was terrible.
I did this thing where it was there was a skull, and you could rotate the skull and then take pieces of the skull off.
Yeah.
And there was just, I don't know, I'm going to, I can't be the hardware, right? Or it's not that I was working on a, it's not that I was working on a weak laptop. It was made for that. And cause it was in one of our demo units, you know, it's tricked out. Right. And it's just, it was laggy. It was slow. I felt like I was doing, I really want to get my second hand in there. I was like, I don't know. Can I do this? And even then I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Leap has really suffered from a lot of promise and not huge deliveries. It's kind of the feeling I get. It sounds cool. Everybody really wants it until they use it, and they're like, this is not as great as I was hoping it would be.
So I'm bummed.
It's funny. That's actually, I mean, we didn't talk about it specifically in the podcast, but that's the reason I stopped talking about it, because I sat there and I went, until somebody shows me a product that actually makes sense where it works really well and it adds some new cool dynamic to the user feature, it's a dead product. Doesn't matter. It'll be thought of as like the Game Boy Virtual, the Virtual Boy, where it's like, it seems like it should have had potential, but it just never did what it was supposed to do.
Well,
and so you'll,
at this rate, you might as well just go out and buy a Kinect. I mean,
exactly.
It's better. It's just better.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's got the full, you know, it's got multiple senses in that it can see heat, it can see motion, it can see objects, and it can hear you. And it can also spy on you.
Well, the other frustrating part, at least for the one that I had, was that it's this bar, and the bar like looks up, right? That's how it's supposed to work.
Right.
But the bar itself is 6 inches.
Yeah.
You know, which, like, you feel cramped. You know, I want to do the big motions, and I want to grab it and pull it back, you know, a foot or two. And you're like, no, actually, all you get to do is play in, like, a 2-inch area.
Yeah, you
maybe
want
to. Engine bar, it stops. I'm like, ah. Okay.
You want to do what you saw, you know, Tom Cruise doing in that
Tony
one
Stark,
movie that I really
yeah.
like. Tony Stark doing in that other movie I really like. You know, it's. Yeah, that's what you want. And it's just not that. It's not that.
Yeah.
And the applications for it aren't the applications you want them to be.
Whatever. So anyways, which is not Windows 8 fault, but more reason to just be like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, first year of Windows 8 and kind of general. No, I want to come back to that. Tesla caught on fire, but they were profitable.
Were we talking about sales or the cars?
A little bit of both. A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Obviously, the fire things was one of the big media pieces, but as we've always discussed, you know, gasoline cars catch on fire way more frequently under way less distress. So, you know, it's there. Everybody keeps coming back, re-reviewing them and saying, oh, it's a 5-star safety rating. It's the safest car that you can buy. It's super great.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But it was a big deal. They were profitable this year.
Cool.
It was like the first year. Yeah. So that was cool.
Can we now focus on the Hyperloop?
I know. Seriously. Come on, guys. Get it together.
I know. It's already been a year.
I know.
Let's get it together.
Hyperloop was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See, that was, dude, oh my gosh. Listening to the last year's show, so funny. Number one, I was so fat.
okay.
But yeah, just throwing that out there. I forgot that it's been, that I was that big a year ago. But,
yes, I was looking at Christmas pictures.
I know.
From,
it's astounding.
Was it last year? And I was like, wow, that's right.
I hung out with a friend last night who hasn't seen me in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, he was like my best friend during college. And I mean, just like we lived together. So he was really taken aback. But yeah, it's crazy. So, but the other, I'm also, every time I listen to the show, you know how like some people don't like hearing the sound of their own voice? like recorded voice. I'm not like that. I got used to that at some point. I hear my voice. It sounds like it's supposed to. I sound fine.
I'm too narcissistic to have that problem.
That's actually what I meant, but I wasn't going to say that out loud so that I sounded a little more sane. But you know what I did realize? I mean, I should have just known this, but like, I sound like such a dork sometimes. Like, seriously, how does anybody put up with me? But
I'm only good for about 2 hours.
I gotcha. I appreciate that. What was that? There was a broader point to this.
I don't know. Something about Tesla a year ago, Hyperloop listening to us back then.
Yeah. At... Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, so Dell went private this year.
Oh, that's right.
That was not easy. Nobody saw that coming, but they did it. Well,
gave the money back to the shareholders.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny. And then Twitter did the exact opposite as they went public.
Yeah.
They also launched Vine, which was this year. Vine was this year, right?
I think it was. Yeah. Do you still visit it regularly?
Oh, so okay. I remember what I do. Not as obsessively as I did. There was a while there when I would like go every day and watch every new video. Now I do it probably once a week, and I catch like the top 10 videos. But I remember what I was gonna talk about. It was so funny. Like it's amazing how like all the years kind of blend together, and you just totally forget that things that you like. This is all this year, right? It's like Snapchat was like, I completely forgot that Snapchat has been around for like a year and a half. Like, wow. We were talking about Snapchat and like using it and different use cases for it at the end of 2012. I could have sworn it came out this year. And Poke had its full life cycle.
Wow.
I know.
Well, it was kind of like there was Poke and Snapchat, and then it went quiet for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, which is probably realistic. You know what? I just thought, when did Facebook buy Instagram? Was that this year?
No, not at all.
Was that that was last year?
It was like early last year, too. So early, we're talking 2012? Almost 2 years ago, I felt like.
No way.
Yes, wait, let's see here. When did Facebook buy Instagram? Facebook buys Instagram for January, February, March, April. April of 2012.
Wow. Okay.
Not quite January, but
see, you know, and the really last year, I mean, like last year's show was even worse. Like I was like saying stuff had happened in 2012 that had happened in like 2010.
Yeah, you know,
I don't think that's true.
The iPhone was invented this last year. It was amazing.
I actually made the joke. I was like, this year was so great. I had like my 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th birthday this year. I mean, thanks for laughing this time. You didn't laugh last year.
I've got
I guess it was a dumb joke. Oh yes, got the nog. So in the gaming category, it's just a big deal. Jeez, the Xbox One was announced and launched. The PlayStation 4 was announced and launched. SimCity 5, as we call it, or the new SimCity, was launched.
I love SimCity. It's still a good game.
It is.
I bought the expansion pack, and it's still awesome.
I'm glad, dude. SimCity, Valve announced their new operating system, but didn't launch any hardware. Kind of your general breakthrough type stuff this year. Birth of the 4K TV. It was a big CES announcement.
Yeah, which I guess if you do the math, 4K is kind of the same as Retina.
Yeah, it actually is. No, it's.
They're like, it's just Apple's language as opposed to the math of it, but
right, it's
but 4K on televisions, they've been on iPhones and iPads,
right,
and I guess other smartphones for a while, and now they're moving on to the broader screens.
Dude, I sat in a Best Buy today while my car was getting cleaned up because of the events of last night.
Did you say cleaned? I was cleaned. Sorry.
Yes, got cleaned up. Wow. We were sitting in the Best Buy, and and we're watching a 4K TV. I want one so bad I can't even
really?
See it. Really? Yeah.
How much are these bad boys?
Oh, like $5,000.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. No, I mean it's
dumb. How many inches? Like, you know.
61 inch Sony.
Oh, okay. All right. That's expensive. Well, because what an HD TV of 61 inches, that's still a couple grand, right?
A 61er, I actually know this because our cousin bought an Xbox One and a TV on Thursday.
He has too much money.
All right. Yep. And it's pretty awesome, though.
He paid cash, right? I'm just making sure.
Yes, he did. Actually, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm okay with
that. And he saved for it. It wasn't like he's
awesome.
Put his money aside over the course of a couple months.
I applaud that 100%.
Me too. That's why I didn't stop. That's why I went along for the merry trip.
So how much is a 60-inch
TV? You're probably talking $1,200 for like a really high-end brand. You might be able to get them as cheap as a grand. They're not crazy. Yeah, but this is like a 4K 3D Sony. I mean, it is the top of the line. But it is unbelievably crisp. It's just crazy. Like, it's so stupid because I don't have anything that could display to it.
I was gonna say I'm gonna stream Netflix. Exactly.
Well, it means I need to get a Mac Pro so I can do video editing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful, dude. The picture's it's ridiculous. It's amazing.
I went in and I customized a Mac Pro. Gave in our podcast last week, I guess. We were talking about it. And yeah, you can add I think it's Sony's 4K television. It might be that same one because it's $5,000 $499.99 or whatever.
That's the one. And it is.
And I looked at it and went, oh my word.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is an amazing television. But that was one of the big things that came along this year. Graphing, if you've been listening to the show at all, has been a huge deal this year. There's a couple other things, but we'll get into that in the prediction section. And then there was the freedom, security, and privacy section. This is not something we've talked a lot about on the show. It's really fascinating politics.
Yes.
And espionage and whatnot, but it's not. It's, you know, what are you supposed to do about it? There's not a lot of technology involved. I think we might be forced to talk about it in the next coming weeks because I actually think that there will be a material impact on the U.S. tech industry because of Ed Snowden's document releases. But there's also, you know, we in 2012, a big deal was ACTA, SOPA, and PIPA. And they stayed dead in those incarnations, but they've been revived in others, and so there's different, you know, strategies and that's been kind of going on in the background. but it's very much been kind of background noise to what's been going on. That's kind of your 2013 year in review. What I thought was really interesting, and we talked about this a little bit last week, was the whole idea of like, not much happened in 2013. There was a big article that was written, I think.
Oh my gosh!
Money leads to it.
I did the courts.
Oh yeah,
Debbie Downers, man.
2013 was a year of was a lost year for tech.
Which I totally disagree with them, but
I totally disagree too. But I get why they said what they said. And this has to do with our predictions for last year. So we had this long conversation last year about the fact that 2013 was an easy show. No. 2012 was an easy show to predict for. That was an easy year because there were so many rumors and stuff. And we felt like 2013 was a harder year and we tried to come up with all these theories on why it seemed so much harder to come up with good predictions. And we made the comment that we thought it was because we're busier following more and more stuff, so we spend less time thinking about specific products and specific companies. And then the other theory was that we've just gotten better at hearing through the noise of the rumors. We don't get caught up in all of the rumor mills and stuff, and so we didn't focus on specific stuff. Looking back at last year, there were just no big new categories of products.
Right.
There were no big feature releases. That doesn't mean that this wasn't a huge year. It just wasn't a big year for bloggers. And this all kind of wraps us into our 2013 prediction. So just,
how did we do?
All right, so how did you listen to the show? Did you listen to the show at all? Okay. So you're going
recently,
cold.
But yeah, that's well, you know. I'm sorry.
No. It's you know what? It's all right. I like it. I like the fact that you're going in cold.
I know you like that style of a show where one person knows and is telling the other.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's actually the reason I don't read any of the articles you post. It's not because I'm lazy. I do it on purpose. It's a convenient coincidence.
Yes.
The 2013 prediction show. So number one, we early on said that video texting was not going to take off in 2013. We said maybe in 5 to 10 years. Didn't really get it right necessarily for the right reasons, but I think we did get – we obviously got that one right. We said Tumblr was completely on its way out. It was dead. Yes.
Then I started using it. It's in the future.
Yeah, which is so funny. I mean, and it was – we based that on an article that we read where some dude was interviewing his, like, 10th grade sister – and she was like on top of it, and we were using this as like a basis for, it was one of those things where I listened to it again, and I was like, man, that seems really odd, in retrospect, but I don't know, the whole thing is funny, because Tumblr like blew up, got bought by Yahoo, like deflated, I don't know, it's hard to tell where
still,
it is.
It's still
huge. Yeah. We also said that 15-year-old boys won't Snapchat, but college dudes will. Yeah, I don't actually know what 15-year-old boys are doing with Snapchat, Snapchatting to each other. But I do know that it is like a full-blown. It's cool for college kids to do it. I get Snapchats from my from the undergrads. So,
but here's the thing that I keep wondering about, and maybe this works because it's not your classic social network where anyone can see your post, right? You explicitly say who it goes to.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you noticed this, but our grandma signed up this week. Now, granted, under the influence of our mom.
But our mom and our grandma tend to be early adopters on these sorts of things. But they're only early adopters. They're not outliers.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I do keep coming back where, for whatever reason, our dad hates Facebook. But is on Snapchat, which I still think the funniest thing is I will send him something and then he will text message me back.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. If you want to respond, respond with the app.
That's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like, come on. That's so funny. But the point is, it's not just college dudes or 15-year-olds. It's taken off everywhere.
It's becoming a full-blown – which, I mean, is obvious. You know, they share more pictures than Facebook.
They still got to figure out the revenue thing, which they will. We've talked about an idea, and, you know, there's other things that you can do. But they just got to figure out – they got to learn how to they got to learn how to grow up. You know, and they got to bring in an adult to help them do that, I think.
I think
so. Until they do that, I think they're really going to struggle.
And I think they're way too. And my read on the owners of the company is that they think they're the next. I think they think they're smarter than Zuckerberg, and I think that they're terribly wrong.
I could see where obviously this is going to bleed into next year, but I could see where next year, they're still strong, they're still around, they're still growing.
Oh yeah.
Definitely, but I definitely see them as a MySpace-esque type of company where you grow, everything looks great, but they're rotten at the core, and the landscape changes just a little bit, and they cannot react, and they can't change fast enough, or they don't want to, or something.
They're a popular club. They're good. They're there because people are there. And they're exciting because the exciting people are there. And the moment the winds shift and the exciting people decide that this club isn't fun anymore, it's done. And, there's very little utility in what they do.
And the worst part is you have no reason to go back because it's not like there's content there.
Yep.
That's, oh my God. You know what? I didn't even thought about that, but that is the biggest death knell right there, is that, I mean, that thing can become a ghost town faster than anything. I mean, MySpace has
better. It's not going to happen. Won't happen next year.
I don't think so. But that'll be fascinating to watch. Man, what a mistake not taking that $3 billion from Facebook. So those are our kind of early show predictions, just sort of random ones off on the side. And then we jumped right into it. We decided to talk about the Google.
The Googs. I'm wearing their T-shirt.
Google it. Yeah. We decided to hold off on Apple's because we wanted to be fair and balanced.
I remember those days.
I know. This is the long and short of it. We talked about Google goggles. We didn't call it Google Glass at that point.
Wow.
What we said, number one, was that they would come out with a piece of a beta, an early beta. We think we already knew that. I think they had announced that at Google I.O. That wasn't a big thing. But what we said was basically what was going to happen was there was going to be a tremendous amount of buzz. There wasn't going to be any worries or anything about what was going on, which is funny. But we said there'd be no real payoff. Basically, what would come out was they'd give the best of all worlds. You wouldn't be worried about how much it cost because it would be a limited release, be in beta. Yeah. Everybody would be talking about how cool it was. Developers would be coming out with new apps, and we'd be really excited about it, which is we were pretty right on all of that, except for the whole no worries things. There's one.
Wait, what was the no worries?
Basically, there'd be no downside to what they were doing. There'd be no concerns.
Got it.
There'd be no. We said, and the reason was
that they would be accepted by the public. Is that what you mean?
Well, we didn't even think about that. What we were thinking was basically saying there'd be no hardware constraints because they just charged as much as they needed to in order to make it awesome.
Okay.
It would be awesome because they charge like it was awesome, which is what they did. What we didn't see coming was the whole, you know, privacy and, you know, and security and, you know, freedom and all of those, that whole thing that's become a real, you know, real hot topic this year. We did not see that coming at all. But on a whole, I thought we were pretty good on thinking what would happen with the beta for Google Glass, or the Google Goggles, as we call them. Mm-hmm. We predicted Android 5.0, which we technically got wrong. It was called Android 4.4. But this is what we said it would happen. We said it would have a couple of new APIs, no big new features, though. We said it would do more to unify the Android ecosystem. And what we actually said was that the day Android 5.0 came out, they would stop with Android 4.0. And they would do everything in their power to get people from 4.0 to 5.0, which was pretty clever of them because basically what they did was they decided to not call it Android 5.0. They called it Android 4.4. We said like there'd be no new huge features.
If anything, they slimmed it down, made it lighter so it could work on older phones to unify the system.
Yeah, and that's what that was what the point of 5.0 was going to be, was unification. And as we talked about the show, you know, they revealed.
I'll take it.
Yeah, well, they revealed some of the different ways that they did that. Bringing Android 2.2 and above up to, you know, closer to 4.4 and bringing 4.0 into the 4.4 world. They basically brought everything together, which is what we thought they were going to do. We just called it the wrong name. And getting the names wrong is not fair, or is not worth counting. We said that some small Russian manufacturer would build a haptic feedback phone, but none of the main players would.
Man.
We were really on the haptic feedback bandwagon at 2000.
I remember that.
We thought that was going to happen.
I don't know if we thought it was, but we really wanted it to.
It's funny. We thought that we didn't think that there'd be any major innovations in it, but we thought somebody, somewhere, it'd be possible to buy a haptic feedback phone. And you can't. But we were, like, really hedged on it a lot. I mean, like, we were, like you said, it was more wishful thinking than yeah. That was just sort of like we figured somebody would be like us and was really excited and would just do it to do it. And nobody did it to do it.
I totally could see some Android manufacturer. What the heck? Let's make it happen. But
yeah, exactly. It's something that you'd think Samsung would have done with one of their
come on, guys.
Arsenal of phones.
Well, did you read that they actually, like, are struggling? I'm going to put that one in quotes. But they're totally missing their targets for the second quarter in a row.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, interesting.
So yeah, that could be fascinating.
They're not on the way out by any stretch of the imagination. Like HP is not on the way out.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're not doing as well as everyone thought they would. No real reason why, but just my, you know, all that to say, it's not like they're running flush with money and like, hey, what kind of phone do you want to make this time? We've got $1 billion to spend.
Yeah, that could be it. We said that there'd be a new Nexus, and we said that this would be the.
And there was.
Said that if any new exciting features was going to come out, it was going to come out on the Nexus 5, but we didn't think they would have any. Which I thought was a really. What?
Go ahead.
That was a really lame prediction back when we made it, and turned out to be unbelievably accurate.
The Moto X, though, you know, did come out, and. You know, the big innovation,
call that.
Made in America. Oh, did we? And then, and then some of their other cool gestures and, you know, notification stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've gotten to play with the Moto X. I have a friend at church who got one, and it's pretty awesome.
He says
that the camera is lame and bad, but he goes, other than that, you know.
Man, it's funny. I wish I could have two phones because I like the Nexus 5s.
You can't. It just costs money.
Yeah, he said. Yes. Good point.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Actually, no. There's you should look into this. It's Republic Wireless, I believe, .com, and they have really awesome phone plans.
Yeah.
And I honestly would love to switch over to it because it could be like $25 a month. To use them, which is significantly cheaper than what I'm paying now. And but they give you two Android phone choices. And one of them is now the Moto X. And
nice. Older, that's cool.
Like a Samsung phone or something. Yeah, super cool service. A bunch of the frugal bloggers out there are switching over to that particular one because they're contract-free. If you don't use a lot of data and stuff, it's like $9 a month. And... you know, for like, it's essentially unlimited phone call and texting, no data. And, but obviously if you're on Wi-Fi, you can use it for like $9 a month. If you want, it's something like 2 gigs or 2.5 gigs of data, it's $25 a month. Again, no contract stuff. And then if you want like unlimited, it's like, you know, it's the unlimited within reason, how they say that stuff. Then I think it's $40 a month or something like that, but
it's not bad. What's the speed on it?
It's, you know, I think they run everything through the AT&T network, if I remember correctly.
It's not bad.
Don't quote me.
I might check that out.
But you gotta buy one of their two phones. But the Moto X is one of them. So there's a part of me. I'll be honest, man. I've been struggling with this internally, where you know, I like to be frugal with my money, and I think phones have reached a point where you don't necessarily have to buy the top of the line one to get a good phone anymore. And and so my frugal bone starts to kick in, and I'm like, man, I could see where I could, you know, getting a phone like that could still totally work for me and be a good deal. And I would
you know what you need to do, James, next time you buy a phone. You need to do what I did. And you'll stick with your iPhone.
I know. Well, that's the thing I keep coming back to is I own a Mac. And
that's not why. But I see what you're saying.
Work really well. And
I'll be honest, man, with the Mac Mini and the Apple TV and the iPad and the iPhone all kind of stitching together the way you'd expect them to.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I know. And I do have dreams and aspirations of one day getting a television with an Apple TV attached to it and getting an iPad. Or I should say, you know, a tablet and a TV. But I could see where I could get a TV with a Chromecast thing. So I got my Hulu and my Netflix and, you know, whatever. And I've got a Moto X phone and then like an HP Slate on top of it. I don't want Windows 8 to save my life. You know, but you know what I mean? I can see myself doing that and, you know, not spending as much money up front. I would spend money in frustration and time, obviously, with some of the stuff. But I'm just saying I could see it and yeah. I could actually save some significant money, which is actually not a commentary on Apple. It's more a commentary on AT&T on that.
That's honestly, my opinion on all this has been, you know, as soon as I can get off AT&T, I will. And I'll take my iPhone with me.
I'll be honest that I've seen that T-Mobile commercial a couple of times where you can get the iPad and you know, you get your 200 megabytes free for life included.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, and I'm just like, so I pay the normal amount. I gotta buy the 3G one. I get it. You know, it's an extra $150 or whatever it is, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But you get your your 200 megabytes for each month.
And to get like 2-3 gigs is very affordable. I mean, it's really, really competitive. It's not, you know, that's the thing. That's my thing with it is it's like, you wouldn't use it all the time. You wouldn't need it. But if you did, it's not, which is what that's their game is we'll make everything affordable. And then where we actually make the money is when you use the, you know, you've made the capital investment. Now it's just the operating expense and that's reasonable as well. So you'll do it.
We decided to be fair.
And that's where we'll make our money. You know, like, and it's brilliant because I have an incredibly hard time not buying one.
my problem the time. Right now is just that the coverage up here is not fantastic. You obviously don't have to worry about it as much. I do have to look at that stuff a little bit. But yeah, no. And here's the other cool thing that happened for me that no one else cares about. But HP finally enabled the IM client on the iPhone to work.
Oh baby, you're absolutely right. Who cares?
Well, so like, there's a part of me that's like, you know what this means is that I could buy one of those air cards and, you know, like go camping or whatever, have my phone on. And when I get pinged, okay, cool. Let me turn on my computer and make it happen.
Nobody knows that you're not there. Nice. That is cool. So I hate to do this, TG.
Yeah. Keep going.
You got to keep going. So Google+, we made some predictions about that. And this is one of the things that I think is interesting about the nature of us versus the industry. First thing we said was people get more and more upset about not being able to have a secret identity.
Hey, true.
As Google unified it more and forced more and more people into using their actual Google+ identity themselves.
See, YouTube.
and which was cool because I'm really glad we got that right. Because basically everything else that we missed out on in the whole security, you know, thing is by nature of the fact that you and I are okay with that.
Yeah, that's true.
That we're not – we protect our privacy on the internet by not pretending like we should have any. If it's on the internet, it's I'm okay with people finding it out about it. Yeah, and that's what my – that's the – and because of that, because we treat it that way – it is more difficult for us to foresee these sorts of things coming, so I'm kind of glad we caught that one. Although we did make fun of people for like preemptively about the fact that they would freak out about it. We said basically Google+ would stay the course. No big radical changes. They'd keep improving their apps, which they absolutely did.
Yep.
We thought it might become basically a Hangout type of function, but that was more wishful thinking. That's what I wanted it to become. You wanted to get better APIs so that like Twitter and Facebook would integrate better, and they didn't really do that. But once again, we didn't think it would happen. We just wanted these things to happen. Mm. And we also said that there wouldn't be a real challenge to Facebook either way. We said totally Facebook true. We said Facebook wouldn't challenge Google Plus, and Google Plus wouldn't challenge Facebook. They'd find their own little ecosystems to exist in because they're different things, although they're almost identical clones of each other, which is weird to think about. But they, you know, they coexist rather comfortably. This was the painful one. This was excruciating listening to. I asked, so James, what products do you? Or no. You said I think. I said, so James, what do you think Google will do this year? And you said, well, Google obviously will kill some product that I really care about, but you know, whatever. And I said, what product do you think they'll kill? And you said, oh my gosh, I don't know. And I said, wouldn't it be horrible if they killed Reader? And you were like, oh, jeez. And we were like, oh, man, we shouldn't even joke about that. That'd be awful. Like, yeah, that would ruin everything. Like, I just like, how would we do the show without Reader? Like, we talked for like...
Yes.
And then we solidly predicted. We said they absolutely won't kill Reader. We don't know what they'll kill, but they won't kill Reader.
You know, that still hurts.
I know. It was excruciating.
I mean, Feedly's fine. I use it.
I like Feedly.
Still hurts.
I know. It just is. I actually, and it's funny. I think Feedly does a good job. And there's some things that I think Feedly does better than Reader. Number one, they kind of cap the number of articles that you can have, like, stored to 1,000, which there are some readers of mine that all I do is look at the top stories. I don't go through every article. So it's kind of nice that it doesn't just become an absurdly large number like it would with Google+. Plus. Mm. It's just kind of like, dude, if you haven't read the last 1,000 articles, we know you're not going to read all of them. So thank you. But that was just – that was so painful to hear. I just was like a –
Oh, it makes me want to go back and listen to this show.
I was impressed, you know, because we were just sure they wouldn't do that, and
sure enough, stupid Google.
Nothing. This
means we need to be really careful with what we say.
Yeah, seriously, they're listening. obviously we talked about the Motorola will launch a phone with Google, and we got that right. Cool. Then we decided to move on to the fruit company from Cupertino, a.k.a. Apple. Basically, we said, big thing, they're going to continue to roll out Retina and all of their different devices.
Check.
We said they were going to sell a unbelievable number of iPad minis.
Check.
And we said that their stock would go up because of it.
Oops.
It did. It totally did. Their stock is way up from last year.
No, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was down.
From last year? No way. No.
Wait, when were they at 700?
Was it last year?
As we both type in finance.google.com.
Yeah. Oh, you look at it.
Because it was APPL.
Yeah. I thought their stock had like hit its bottom. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong.
Let's see here. Let's see. Here is at $700. Give me a date. How do I? September 21st, 2012 was their high.
That's what I thought.
Walking into the new year. They were around 500, it looks like, a little above it. Then they very quickly, in April, was a low of 390, and they are currently sitting at around 560. And they did have a bump at around, they got back up to 500 in August, which is some.
Yeah, they kind of, yeah.
Not a great year.
It was
year over
a great
year,
year,
flat, mostly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I know.
Well, you know what? You know what's so funny? I predicted their stock was going to go up because of the iPad mini, and then like 10 minutes later in the show, I ranted again as I often do, about the fact that your stock price and the company have nothing to do with each other. There's no correlation between the price of the stock and what they're worth. And it's no and there's no company where that's more true than with Apple. So I don't know why I predict stock stuff, because I'm almost always wrong, because it has no basis for predictions.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But we said all the products were going to come out right before Q4. We said they were going to do a complete refresh of basically everything.
That was pretty good.
I know. The iPhone, the iPad Mini. There was an unbelievable drumbeat for a March launch of a new product. Some people were saying the iPad. We were like, that is patently stupid. And dude, I know.
Geniuses.
I know. And then and we said, and you know,
we should
we
just turn us into an Apple podcast. Clearly, we know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this isn't.
I said that there wasn't going to be a new number for the iPhone. I wanted that. Well, I wanted that. I wanted that at first, and then you made an argument for why it would be called the 5S. And I came back around. I said, I think it will have a number. I'm not sure what.
Okay.
But we settled on the 5S was the one. So we missed the 5C.
You're welcome, internet.
We missed the 5C, but we did get the 5S. You said you wanted /expected NFC.
I did.
Yep.
They figured out another solution to it.
I'm going to say that. And I was going to say, I don't think we actually missed on that one. We missed in that we didn't realize what was happening underneath our noses, because that's clearly happening and it keeps on working. I said no wireless charging, and my rationale was that
you cried when you said that, right?
Yeah, I was pretty upset. And the reason I said is because I think what they're waiting to figure out how to do long range, like over 5 feet.
Yeah.
And basically what I was arguing was that we argued was they weren't going to do wireless charging because a pad was actually more restrictive than a cord. Cause a cord you can plug in and like move it around, in a 3 foot radius. Whereas a pad, it has to sit on the pad. And so what we argued, what I argued was no wireless charging until you can basically get rid of the cord for distance wise and then better. That's what their goal is. So, and I'm sticking by that. I'm gonna keep with it. No wireless charging this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said the hardware will be fairly static. It's gonna stay basically the same. Got that one.
Halfway that one. I guess you don't got the 5C, but yeah.
Yeah. Close enough. And then we said there'd be a major, major overhaul of iOS.
That was easy.
Obvious. Yeah. Johnny Ives was taking over. Yeah. Everybody was talking about it. I mean, that was. I don't know if you can count that one.
Sure.
We talked about the iPad. We said the iPads are more like the MacBooks, where people don't really pay attention to upgrades anymore. We didn't think there'd be a new name, and then they came out with the iPad Air.
Way to go.
Whatever.
We were half right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't think people really pay that much attention to upgrades, but, especially with the iPad, but, you know, they did come out with a new name. Mm-hmm. We said that you said they'd get rid of the iPad too. I said they'd keep it and give it a price cut. No price cut, but they did keep it. We totally got the different categories of iPads right, though. We said that there would be a new iPad, an HD iPad, or the iPad with Retina display. And you hated that name back then when you said it. They'd keep the iPad Mini. We thought they'd drop the price of the iPad Mini more, but they did drop it. And we thought that they'd make the Retina iPad $330, which they didn't. They raised the price. We also thought they'd keep the iPad 2 and the current model of, you know, whatever their fifth generation iPad was. They did all that, and we nailed it. We also said there'd be upgrades to the iPod Touch line or the iPod line. And there wasn't really.
It didn't happen, did it?
Yeah. Yeah, not a single upgrade, and nobody noticed, which I think is what Apple's plan was.
I know.
We talked about the big one, and this is what I thought was interesting, because I remember thinking this was a totally lame prediction, and I was really, really nervous making it.
I know. I remember.
I was, I was real. I said I'm going to make a confident proclamation here, but I was really nervous that it was. I just was wrong because I didn't notice something happening. But I said, don't think there'll be any new hardware this year. And we went through it product by product. I said the ITV doesn't make sense because why would you build a new screen unless you could really bring something new to the table? And I don't think Apple can right now. And I don't think they have any reason to. So they're not going to be a new piece of glass, as I described it, or a new screen. And this was before 4K. So that kind of helped because I think I might have pretty – if CES had happened like – a week before, I'd have been like, Apple's going to have a 4K TV. but they didn't, so I didn't. We talked about a potential goggles because obviously the Google Glass is doing a big deal.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's not going to happen, James. They're not going to fight Google on that one. They're going to let Google do it, and they'll come in from behind if they need to. And then I said, what about the watch? And I said it's probably not coming, but I really liked the idea because I like the idea of a watch. You said it was really dumb, and you said they're not in that business.
Yes.
And it's what's great about it was like you talked about how stupid it would be and like how it didn't make any sense. And then like 5 minutes later, you're like, besides, I mean, basically what you're describing is the Pebble, which I have coming. I've got mine on my way. It'll be here like in a month. Which was awesome.
That prediction.
But
I got it now.
Exactly. But
I found out tonight that my wife hates it with a passion, so I got to figure that out. Yeah, she doesn't like the notifications coming in.
Bummer.
Yeah, I know. I got to figure that out.
Yeah. So I was super stoked about the iWatch and you weren't, and I think it was because you knew the Pebble was coming and you didn't want to regret it, but you didn't say that. So we won't give you credit for it.
That's fine.
but we did settle on no new product categories for 2014, which, you know, that was a bold statement.
I'd be shocked if you say that again this year, especially given the email that Timmy sent out just this last week or so.
Okay. Samsung?
Didn't you – he sent out an email to his employees saying, hey, we got a lot of big stuff coming next year.
I thought you were talking about Timmy.
No.
I was super confused.
Timmy Cook.
I got you. We're on that basis. Samsung, we said they keep making tons of different phones. They'd keep making fun of Apple. They'd have another quarter of having the best-selling phone. So far, so good. Yeah. We said that they'd be really closing the gap between selling nearly as many flagship phones as the iPhone, which is not as – a year over the course of the year, which is not as true. They didn't really close that gap, or they didn't do it in a meaningful way. And we also said that they basically wouldn't challenge Google or Amazon in the tablet category. We said that the Nexus 7 and the Kindle Fires were going to be the Android tablets.
Nokia came out with their tablets, which look cool if you're into Windows 8.
Yeah, Windows 8 RT.
Yeah.
Which is a laughable position. Then we made our gaming predictions. We basically said the Wii U exists. SimCity 5 was going to be amazing.
Got that right. What?
I know you love that game, and I'm really glad you do. But I'm not exactly sure.
Hey, look, I will admit the launch
was not phenomenal. You're right. It was not phenomenal.
But hey, they regrouped. You got to give them that.
It's true. I will give them that. They've made a lot of progress. Basically, we said Microsoft would talk about new hardware but wouldn't launch it. We didn't even bother to bring up Sony. We said Valve would launch a new piece of hardware and it will be successful.
Well, they talked about it.
It's true. And then we said games would keep making money, and basically we didn't predict any new IP. We didn't say any of the big games that would be coming. as we don't pay attention to that, unfortunately.
Or I guess there was Grand Theft Auto came out this year, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
there were some huge games that came out this year. Grand Theft Auto is one of those ones that made it into everybody's vocabulary because it made so much money so fast. But there was a huge year for games coming out. Then you made some predictions about the economy, and
you're welcome.
And you made me want to throw up because you basically said nothing good would happen, nothing horrible would happen, but nothing good would happen. Which that's a positive 1 point right there.
Turns out I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Then this was the awesome one. We predicted what would happen with RIM.
Yes.
We both said
that
BlackBerry
10.
We basically both said BlackBerry 10 wouldn't sell any phones, and this was the rationale, which I thought was compelling. I can't believe. So it's the weirdest part about it was listening to the show and having us say things and then being like, "That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense." And then we explained the rationale, and I was like, "Wow, that actually totally makes sense. I get why that happened. Why did I forget that? That was really clever." but basically, what we said was the BlackBerry 10 wasn't going to be any better than Windows Phone 8, and Windows Phone 8 was really good and didn't sell any phones.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and exactly. I was like, why did we not see that? I mean, like, that's obvious. It's not going to be better than Windows 8, and it's can't save Nokia. Basically, you came in. I said they'd only survive if they filed bankruptcy, and you said investors are going to hang on with RIM for another year despite hemorrhaging money. And I said, yeah, but you can't exist if you keep, you know, losing tons and tons of money. And we actually looked at their financials, at which point we realized the quarter before they made $9 million, and I rolled with laughter at the $9 million that they made. But you brought up the good point of if they are not losing that much money, and even if they're all they're doing is surviving, no one's going to buy them. So why would they go away? And I asked the question, why would you work there? And then I was like, oh, because they, you know, pay your mortgage, I guess. That's a good reason to stay. So basically what we said was that they'd make it, and they did. And
skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
Heinz Thorne, they ousted the CEOs in like that January, didn't they? If I remember correctly. And then he didn't quite make it an entire year.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
And then they got some guy in there. I don't even know.
I don't know how much
we care at this point.
Yeah. I'm kind of waiting for a big thing to happen before I really turn my head towards them again.
They're already dead to me, essentially, but
I'm waiting for the death. That's what when I mean something big, I mean I'm waiting for the death knell. I'm waiting for the toll, the bell to start to toll. Okay, so then we talked about Facebook. We said they'd get tons of positive attention in 2013. once again, Snowden kind of moved the dialogue in a way that we weren't expecting.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
But we did say their stock would come back up and pass the IPO price, which it did. We said they wouldn't come out with any hardware, even though we think Zuckerberg really wants to. It's not what Facebook would do. I know. They'd keep making minor improvements, and people would keep complaining about the minor changes. But basically, they had nothing to worry about. They were going to keep on keeping on.
True.
This was awesome. Tech trends. We asked, so what are the big tech trends of 2013 going to be? First thing I said, I think you're going to see your first quantum computers really being used. Not huge usage, but you would see governments and big companies make the first adoptions of them. NASA.
Cool. You totally got that right. Kind of.
The big company that I said a big company would use it. I'm not sure who. I don't think it'll be Google, but it'll be somebody like Google, and it ended up being Google.
Someone scarily similar to Google. Yeah. So much so you might use them for Google.
Yeah.
Because their name is Google. That's funny.
Yeah.
Which, the one you company know, you call out. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. That was a tough one, because it's like, I give myself credit for that one, and maybe I shouldn't, because technically they're the one I, you know, the only one I said. But, you know, it's all about following the logic of it, following the rationale, so you're prepared to understand what happens when it happens, right? And that's what a lot of our predictions are, is they're, you know, they're just these kind of gut, like, what do we think the company's into? We've said 3D printers will be the next car, and that 2013 would be the year where it really, like, you know, the worm turned on it. This was the year and the example I gave, but this would be the equivalent of the year that Steve Jobs met Steve Wozniak and started Apple Computer for 3D printers. That, you know, you watch this trend as like computers and cars started with only big corporations could really afford them and manufacture them. Then they became kind of a hobbyist thing for the rich and the tinkerers. And then finally they go into full blown production. I was in the Microsoft store, helping Timmy buy a Xbox One on Thursday, not Tim Cook. And they've got a MakerBot 3D printer in the store doing examples running off of Windows 8.
So I was at a youth group thing this evening, and one of the questions we asked was, what was the coolest present you got?
Yeah.
One of the girls in my group says, ooh, I got a MakerBot for Christmas. It was awesome.
I'm super jealous.
And awesome. Yeah, so and I've got another guy in one of my small groups where he's got one, and so I must live in the rich part of the rich kid thing that you were talking about.
And that is what's going on.
But so I mean, yeah, all that to say, yeah, totally, it's following that course. And I will commit in a little bit here, but I don't know if 2014 is that year, but
it's getting to that point, though. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
it is,
where it's like, is it this within, year or next year?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what it is? I'll make my prediction right now. It's really easy. It's not this year. There's still too much controversy with the patents. You still have to wade through too much of the big dogs, as they were, but the people who own the original patents that kept the prices so high, they're still fighting like savages to keep it that way, because that's what their bread and butter is.
Without revealing too much.
You said on your Scout's Honor that you would not use insider information to make predictions, but please, please, please do it. Please.
So I have just enough to be dangerous, I should say. It'll happen.
Oh, there is no question about whether or not it would happen.
Sooner rather than later. Again, I don't know if it's this year or next year, but definitely, I'm willing to say definitely by next year, they will be a thing.
I'm super stoked.
And I mean, it could be MakerBot. I could definitely see that. But
it's a nice hedge. That was nice. For lawyer reasons, I get what you're saying.
I'm trying.
Basically, we said
I'm getting excited because
I know. Automated cars will continue to be a big zeitgeist, but nothing's going to come to market.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless
you start to count some of the, you know, not fully automated, but there's definitely some partially automated stuff
out
there.
That's true. That is becoming a bigger and bigger thing.
Which I don't know if we said it in this last year or the year before, but, you know, that's definitely how I see it coming, where this, you know, the cars more and more become I'm going to just do it more and more automated, you know, where they have this, was it Ford now? It's like, we've got adaptive cruise control on every car coming out now.
Yeah.
It was one of them, you know, which is super awesome because it can follow the lines. It'll stop and go in traffic. Like, that's cool. That's a form of automated driving, you know?
That knows. And that's, I completely agree. I completely agree with you.
So,
you made the bold prediction that mobile would be a big deal. 2013.
Really?
Yep. I was.
You know. I wanted to make sure I had at least one right thing in there.
Exactly. It was late. I don't know. You said that something with mobile payments would start to gain traction outside of credit cards, which is interesting because I think what you missed was the outside of credit cards thing.
Yeah.
The reality of it is, if you include credit cards, stuff's really starting to gain traction. I mean, really, really starting to gain traction. And especially in the Bay Area, it's like our mom, like for Christmas, they had to like move money around. So they used the Square Pay app where they moved money back and forth without using credit cards.
I showed her that, by the way. Just so
I believe it. But it's like you sit there and you go, and like
well,
I said
that was
earlier.
It's funny. So I bought tickets to go to Disney World. And exactly. Our sister had to buy them to get the employee discount. And so I was like, well, just tell me how much we're. And it was like $500, something like that as long as we went. And so I was like, oh, just buy them and I'll reimburse you. And the amount was just enough for my mom was like, well, at first I just logged in onto my Wells Fargo app and did the bill pay and went, okay, you'll get it. It's going to take like a week or two to get there. And my mom was like, oh, Jesus, $500. Can we do this any faster than in a week?
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, fair enough. So I canceled that and our mom, she was like, let's just drive to the bank and we'll get cash. And I didn't even have an ATM card with me. That's how I roll. So I was like, well, fine. I went, how about, cause I knew I could talk her into this. We try something new, Square Cash. What do you think, Mom? And so she got all excited. And so we did it. And I mean, it was like, it's 2 to 3 days.
I think the important thing here is, what I always come back to is our mom is an early adopter, but she is not an outlier. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was really into it, I think, is an important indicator.
About her too, she's a total evangelist, right?
She
got our dad on it. I think about Snapchat, right? Got him on, got her grandma on Snapchat.
Right.
And with this, she's starting to get to aunts and stuff. I got an email from one of my aunts going, hey, what's the security on this? How does this work? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, but I think what's important here is that our mom rarely adopts technology that doesn't go mainstream. You and I regularly adopt technology that doesn't go mainstream.
I still remember being a freshman, or was I a sophomore in college, and my mom going, hey, have you heard of this new search engine thing out here? It's a small thing, Google, have you heard of it? And I was like, no, I use Yahoo because I'm cool. I know.
That's embarrassing.
It's kind of neat. She's like, it's got a real sparse homepage. And I checked it out. I was like, all right, whatever. Search results are whatever. And so I stuck with Yahoo. Yeah.
I was using Dogpile, so I'm not that – I can't criticize.
But yeah, she was on top of it. She goes, yeah, it's pretty young. Cool. I hear they're going places. I'm like, oh, good for them.
Yeah. So
now I'm wearing their t-shirt.
I know, seriously. So the last thing we said was that home automation, this was yours, home automation would be a big deal in 2013.
Oh, man, yeah.
It would keep moving. We thought after the Nest that there'd be something else big that would really, like, you know, really pop. We predicted, like, washer-dryer maybe, or maybe security system. Turns out it was, you know, thermostat – or not thermostats, but
fire alarms.
Fire alarms.
Well, the lights have been kind of a big thing.
Well,
I got the Lockatron. Still waiting for that one.
What we said –
it didn't happen.
What we said was the light bulb – that home automation was gonna follow the same route as home electrification, which was – the light bulb was the first reason to have power in your house, and then other things followed. The light bulb will come first with home automation, and then other things will follow. We'll figure out how to make it work with the light bulb, and then once we've done that, then we'll put it in everything. Which seems to be exactly what we're doing. So, you know, we were kind of vague on that prediction, so I'm not going to give ourselves too much credit, but...
That
kind of wraps up 2013. I give ourselves a solid A-. That's not even a curved A-.
I feel good about that.
Me too. I am, except for the oh, the Google Reader. That was so painful.
Let's stop talking about it. I don't want to be upset walking into these other predictions.
Okay, so let's just start off, man. Let's go with the.
Okay.
Let's not try to hide bias.
And you've done a lot more research than I have because you went and listened to all this stuff and your head's been in it. So
okay, Apple.
That's my. Like how I just hedge right out the gate.
I know. I appreciate it. What's going to happen with Apple in 2014?
Okay. Apple. I literally have not thought about this at all. That's how awesome my vacation has been. So let's see here.
See, this is about all I've thought about, which is how awesome my vacation has been.
So let's see here. They're going to come out with a new iPhone. It's going to be the iPhone 6.
Okay.
And it's I don't know in what way, but I think it'll have a new hardware design. It won't be plastic. It will.
One of them is plastic,
and one is not. Yeah. What's going to be the thing that they add to it to make me want to buy it? They did the thumbprint thing, which I thought was cool. They did what I actually think is cooler is that M chip, the motion chip.
They did way improved camera with the bigger picture.
Yeah. But what are they going to do?
Don't forget about the A7 processor, 64-bit architecture.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm just trying to think could they do a bigger screen? I know there's always rumors of that floating around. I could see them doing that. I don't know if they would, if it would make sense. I'm just trying to think what else could you add to it other than, you'll love this, some awesome way of communicating to an iWatch that only it can do, similar like Siri. Requires the A8 and therefore, to run both the watch and the phone and therefore.
No way. No.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
No.
You think they'll just use Bluetooth and call it good?
Yep. Yeah. The watch will be reverse compatible, which, let's start there. Let's bring that into the conversation here.
Fair enough.
There's going to be a watch. Without question this year. There won't be a TV. I'm coming back around on the TV thing. I liked the rationale last time. I think there's a chance that Apple will come out with a 4K cinema display.
Yeah.
I don't know the context for that, but it makes a lot of sense that.
Now that you've got a computer to run it.
Like I say, but that's the big thing. The Mac Pro, which we completely missed, is clearly a design for 4K, and I mean that is the entirety of the intention. Not entirety, but that was the major thing that they wanted to do. Something that could handle real time 4K editing for multiple monitors. They want something that can do 4K. Apple thinks 4K is the next big thing in monitors.
I think they'll come
stuff.
Out with they obviously don't use the word 4K. They use the word Retina. Do you think they'll come out with a Retina iMac, like a 27-inch Retina iMac?
Yeah.
That's, $1,000 or $2 more than their current line, just like they did with the Pro, which I think was
I don't know if they'll do it this year. But I that's definitely coming down. That's a stupid prediction to make.
If you've figured out how to do the 27-inch Retina, you might as well do the standalone monitor for the Pro and I don't know if that makes sense with the Mini, but at least for the Pro. And then you embed that into the iMac line because you're like, see, we already figured this out.
It's funny. They've talked about the fact that the Mac Pros with Retina display can drive 4K displays very easily. There's no reason to think that an iMac couldn't handle it. You know what? I'll bet they do. I'll bet this year they do a 4K iMac.
All right.
or a Retina display iMac. I don't know what they're going to call it. But, yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. That seems to totally make sense with the direction they're going.
Why not, right? I mean, like you said, they're going there. Now it's just a question of can we figure out the technical details and the cost structure to make it happen.
And that's the sort of thing that Apple loves to do because it allowed them to put a really new high ceiling on the iMac and basically raise the price of the iMac without, you know, introducing – makes sense. That would make sense. I'll go with that.
And they didn't come out with an iMac this year. They did that last year.
Right.
They made them super thin because I got rid of the CD drive.
Right, DVD right. Drive. Yeah, so it'll be 2 years. It'll be at least a year and a half, 2 years for the new refresh. Yep. You know what? Yeah, that's definitely coming. I'm nervous about that. But I feel good about it because it just – I mean
– Got to put totally, stick in the sand, man. I'm saying
I'm saying yes too, but it's just one of those things where it's like it's such a new revelation that is like clearly one of the big things that they're moving towards. That's what the whole I mean it's like now all of a sudden the Thunderbolt stuff makes a lot more sense it's the Lightning one's the Thunderbolt connector and one's the Lightning connector.
Lightning's to your device. Thunderbolt is for monitors and
it's what that's such a stupid naming convention.
Dude, I don't know.
I know, but they yeah, but that's I mean that's so clearly one of the big things that they're doing. It's not even funny. So it's yeah, they're that's where we're going. I could see that.
They can do an AI watch. I can't remember. Do you already say that?
Absolutely.
You said yes.
Absolutely.
What do you think will be like the killer app on that?
It'll look awesome.
Is that it? Do you think it'll be good design, good fashion?
I think it's going to be a beautiful watch that does health tracking and notifications. They're going to keep it really, really, really simple. They're going to keep it just basic, and it's going to work fantastic with the iPhone. It's going to be a seamless integration. And
I would like to be able to give simple replies, even if it's via Siri, backed on text messages or emails.
I do think you'll be able to talk to it, but I'm not sure that they want it to talk to you. Won't do pictures. It won't do, and my big question is, and it's funny, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I said, I think it's going to cost stupid money. And they were like,
wouldn't it be cool if it had like a little Retina camera on the face of it? You know, so it's not for taking pictures. It's Dick Tracy style. Boom. I'll talk to you.
That's what that's what people want. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to, I think the big thing for them is they're going to do whatever they can to make it last a very long time. The battery life is
battery life primary. With a color touchscreen, right?
Yeah. When I've talked to people who work for Apple who have any knowledge of the program, they've said it's battery life. That's all they care about. That's entirely all they care about.
After Samsung got hammered, I don't blame.
Yeah. Them. Yeah, I think they want I think their goal is the 8-day battery life, so you recharge it the same day every week.
That's why I literally in my to do list I have a recurring event every Friday: charge my Fitbit and phone.
Yeah,
watch.
Yeah, that's what they want from that, and I think they can achieve it. I was talking with somebody and I said, we were talking about pricing on it, and they said, so do you think it'll be, you know, in the ballpark of what Samsung's charging? No, it's going to be way more expensive. Like,
what was Samsung's price again?
Like $300, I think.
Oh yeah. Not
even. And I was like, I could easily see it be $800.
Whoa.
Like, are you friggin' kidding me? And I was like, well, think about this. How much do they charge for Rolexes? How much do they charge for luxury watches?
Okay. Thousands.
Yeah, thousands. And all Apple would have to do is put up on their screen, we're developing a luxury watch. And you might, for something that looks this beautiful and capable of this much, you could charge.
Aluminum, right? You know there's not going to be any plastic on it.
Yeah, it's going to look. Yeah, I mean, I think it might, you know, I would be astounded if they charged you know, less than $500 for it. I'd be astounded.
That was where my mental model instantly went, was to $500.
I would be, if they charged less than $500, I would be really excited. I could see it go as high as $800, though. Just not even, just whatever. It's a luxury item. It's not necessary.
Huh.
This is for people who want the entire ecosystem. And it's the best product out there. It does the best job, and you're going to be paying. It's going to be ridiculous.
I just don't get how they can sell like an Apple TV for $100, or you know, I guess the iPhones are that expensive, and so are the iPod Touches. You know, they're $300 or so. I keep coming back to a talk that I heard in Las Vegas, an HP event, where you know it was making the comparisons, where it was like he goes, we can make an HP Slate for whatever it was, $69, you know, $70 for a 7-inch piece of glass that has multiple sensors in it and a full blown operating system. He was like, and then you have my Pebble.
Yeah.
That I paid, you know, I got it on Kickstarter and I paid $79 for it. I think they now retail for $150. And he's like, and it's an inch and a quarter piece of plastic that's not touchscreen, that has one sensor in it, you know, when it doesn't have a full-blown operating system. And he's like, look, there's, from just a component standpoint, it doesn't make sense. And so I keep thinking about that, and I'm like, man, they could price this bad boy at like $200. They could do it, and they would sell truckloads of them, and like an Apple TV, sell it as like an accessory. That's how they pitch it.
You know what I think they're actually going to do? I think they're going to charge stupid money for the first one.
Really?
And then they're going to do what they did with the MacBook Airs, where it went from they cost more than your high end.
Yeah, weren't they like $1,600 at first? I mean, they were
expensive. Yeah, they were more expensive than your low end pros by a good margin. And okay. Then the next generation replaced the low-end MacBooks. Like, what? what happened?
Okay. I can see that. All right.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to start out as a luxury item just for the cachet of it, and then it'll drop back down.
Okay. And you think it'll do notifications, which would be nice to specify which notifications you get and which ones you don't. Yeah. And you'll have, what was the other one?
Health tracking.
Health tracking. That'd be the big one.
Okay. And I think I'll even go so far as to say Q3.
Oh, all right.
I think it'll come out with the next iPhone
around that same
time period. Yeah. I think you're going to get a bigger screen. I think this is the year. I think you'll have a new model that is the bigger screen. I think the iPhone C will become the 5S with a plastic case, and the 6 will be the 4.5-inch screen.
Mm, okay, I can see that.
And better battery life, just because it's a bigger phone.
And
that one's just kind of a reading the tea leaves of the rumor mills. That one seems less, it's one of those things where they've really ramped up production of large screen iPhones. They're doing full on testing of two different large size models. That's pretty clear from supply chain reading and stuff. Like, they're doing that. And it is a bigger move. They're doing more in the area of making a bigger iPhone than they ever have in the past. And they're spending a lot more money on it than they have in the past. So I sit there and I go, I think this is the year where they're going to do it. Okay. And they're going to keep on the same time frame for that. I think you're probably going to get the iPads. Easy roadmap for that. They're going to get the thumbprint ID. They're going to get upgraded A8 processors. I think you're just going to kind of see the speed
boost.
Do you
think they'll also come out with a bigger screen? The rumors about that 13-inch.
Oh, yeah. You know, that one's a tough one, man. That is a tough one. I'm going to go with no. but I could really easily be wrong on that.
Well, I'll go with yes.
Okay.
Just to be, because I want one.
I mean,
I'm not going to buy one because I still got student loans, but if I were to buy one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sure that they're coming out with the iWatch and a bigger iPhone that I'm really hesitant to say that they'll come out with a third new product. I'm using my air quotes for you that aren't watching me. A third new product category, as they would describe it. I think that's a little bit.
I guess
too
if
much
we're still including
Apple
the iMacs and stuff.
Oh yeah, and a 4K iMac. Yeah, it's a lot. It's not unquestionable by any means because it's not a hard thing to engineer. It's just I think they're going to leave something in their back pocket for the year after.
All right. So you think they're probably playing with it, but not necessarily getting ready for live go. Fair enough.
That's kind of Matt. Mac Mini is going the way of the Dodo at some point, maybe not. I don't know. It's in line for an upgrade. It drives me nuts that they haven't done anything with the Apple TV. I say this as I like look at mine on my desk. It's awesome, and I just want it to be a little more awesomer. I want it to be programmable. I want it to have an SDK. That's really what I want. Because there's huge potential there.
It sounds like they do. It's just not open to the public.
Yeah, that's what kills me. Because it's sweet, man. It's cool, especially being able to navigate it with my iPhone. The remote app from the iPhone, oh, it's great. It's so awesome. It's so good. There's one bug that drives me crazy, but I'm working on it. I'm letting Apple know.
good man.
Yeah, it's my duty.
So nothing out of left field for them, huh? Just kind of...
They're going to come out with some big new products.
Keep making headway into the car. It'll be great. Siri will keep learning.
Yeah, exactly. I think you'll see, that's one big thing that, you know, the whole Siri in the car will get more and more integration. I think more general acceptance. I think you'll start seeing third-party radios start to incorporate that more. Aftermarket radios.
I won't, because I don't buy new cars. But others will.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
The iWatch is that's a little bit out of left field.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, except for the fact that at All Things G, you pretty much said it. Now it's just a matter of when.
I know. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. So this is the other big question. Everybody keeps wanting something in March. They coming out with that? Are they going to start doing March releases again?
Man, you know, I would not be surprised just given all of the fluff that they got for waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because the problem was because they waited, people started coming up with their own stories. So it became about the share, and it became about the, the patents and stuff. And, you know, and I just think, you know, with a lot of that stuff, if you come out with new products on a regular basis, they're not going to go looking for stories.
Right.
They'll just, you know, like say, this last quarter, all it was Carl Icahn asked to do a $50 billion buyback, but Apple's saying don't. You know, I saw like one or two stories about it. That was it. And then the other ones were all about sales of iPhones relative to Samsung and, you know, web share usage numbers and blah, blah, blah. So I just, you know, I could see where they would do it. It makes a lot of sense just from a purely PR standpoint. And they came out with a lot of stuff at the very end. And
it's funny, but I mean, like we said, the iMacs haven't gotten a refresh in a year. Yeah. The Mac Pro or the Mac Mini hasn't gotten a refresh in like 2 years. There are things. The iPods. Now, doesn't that seem obvious?
They're not going to do anything with these.
You don't think so? But I mean, what I'm saying is
they could refresh the iPod Touch, I guess.
What I'm saying is that they could. There's enough products that have had it that have sat on the shelf without a refresh long enough where they could do something in March that was just enough to make some noise, but not really a big deal, but just see we're still innovating, you know, and keep on going. And, you know, I think they're going to continue to make inroads in China and India, obviously, with the signing of the China Mobile deal. That was a big, big deal. And I'm going to keep with my predictions on what that looks like, where they, you know, they're going to sell a small portion of the market and everybody's going to say it's terrible news, but it's actually going to be great news, and they're going to sell a gazillion iPhones. So I don't think it's going to be. And then when the new iPhone launches, they're going to hit a new, you know, first weekend sales record because China Mobile is going to have the next generation iPhone, and it's going to be crazy. If you thought there was constrained supply this time around, just wait until next year.
It's
kind of, I'm, you know, staying the course with it. iOS 8, they'll come out with an iOS 8. I think you're going to see more and more stuff with iBeacons. I've actually went into an Apple store and got the bombardment of iBeacon notifications.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually a little bit annoying. I wasn't too thrilled about it. I thought it was going to be really cool, but they're still working out the exactly what that looks like in a non-annoying way. It was funny because I kept getting notifications and I was like, whoa, man, how does it know I'm in this? Like, I'm like so stupid sometimes. I'm like, wow, man, the Apple store app must be running in the background. That's cool because it's like keeping track of my location. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
that's funny.
I'm hoping that somebody will finally do the, you know, iBeacon, you know, I think I'm hoping Square or PayPal or somebody will finally do the iBeacon trading money on the phones and just like close the loop of NFC wallets and let, you know, let that solution start to really become a solution. And, you know, I don't think Apple's going to do anything in the way of that this year. They could, but I don't think so.
I don't even know if Square would. I think they're going to want to try to go public. If they don't go this year, next year.
Yeah. Well, Square's definitely going public this year. That's my – I'm on board with Jim Cramer. I'm definitely on board with Jim Cramer. They're going IPO this year. It's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome. Because they want to move into a different into different markets. They've got you know, they just came out with their new piece of hardware. I think it was the intention is work out all the engineering kinks, IPO, get an unbelievable amount of capital to go into mass production, and then start selling them in China, India, Germany, everywhere. You know, bring them to the world. I think that's their goal this year.
So, speaking of the world, what do you got for Facebook?
Facebook?
Own the world already.
I don't know. I'm thinking you're going to see more and more of the Yahoofication of Facebook.
Liked that article, didn't you?
You know what? It's that. The more and more I think about it, the more I'm like, that was the analogy I was looking for. Like a good technology company that gets kind of quagmired in being just there, and as though that's a terrible thing to be. I think at some point you're going to see Zuckerberg get really antsy and start wanting to work on other projects. You know, we offhand mentioned that he might start a side hardware company. I think at some point you're going to see him realize that Facebook is awesome, it's big, and it's not going anywhere, but he's got other things he wants to do and other things he wants to work on, and I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I think he's going to start getting – he's going to start to realize that he can't tinker with Facebook the way he wants to because of a PR image reasons. He's going to get a lot of pushback on that sort of thing. And it's going to be those third-party apps like Instagram where he's really going to be allowed to play. It's a smaller market. It doesn't matter as much if he does damage or not. And I think you're going to see him move in that more and more that direction, which means I think you might see another big acquisition if they'll let them buy him. You know, and I think you'll see I think that's where you're going to see the new innovations in Facebook. Otherwise, Facebook, they're just going to really try to solidify their position as, you know, making money off of ads, that they're profitable, that they can afford those other adventures, and you're going to try to see them just become even more and more solid as just sort of this background utility that everybody has and uses and nobody's particularly thrilled about, but nobody hates.
Similar to Google.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
so is it a Googlefication or a Yahoofication?
I think it's more of a Yahoofication at this point. I think they're going to become more like Yahoo than Google. In some ways, they'll straddle the line between the two of them. As Zuckerberg's a really, 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 really smart engineer. Having somebody like that at the helm is good.
And he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he'll work on side projects, but he's going to stay at the head of Facebook.
Yeah, they'll have the name of Facebook under him.
Right, exactly.
Go start as another company.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I think he really wants to build hardware. I don't know what that looks like for him. If I don't think that's necessarily a phone anymore. Like you said, I think the fact that phones have gotten to where they're at, anything he wants to do with a phone, they can do it with a phone without building the hardware.
Yeah.
But I think he loves hardware, and he wants to see something cool.
Well, a lot of the cool stuff they've been doing has been in the server space and that back-end stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that a lot of – yeah, exactly. A lot of what they do is invisible to you and I. But
– so, you know, and that might be enough for him right now.
What about you? Do you think they got anything up their sleeve?
I think they'll introduce a couple new things. I couldn't tell you necessarily what they are. You know, like graph search, that'll get a little better. Facebook's just going to be Facebook, you know? Like you said, it's going to become a utility. At the end of the day, Google search is Google search. You know,
right.
It really hasn't changed a whole bunch since they first showed it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, they're non-visible changes for sure. They're always constantly messing and tweaking with the design just a little bit, which is fine. they're going to be focusing a whole lot more on mobile, as we know, and majority of the revenues are going to come from there if they're not already. I can't remember. And so that's cool. I would love to see them do that distributed ad network. I feel like they should have done it 2 years ago, and I still don't understand why they haven't yet. I don't feel like it's a technical problem, and so I don't.
Their distributed ad network? Which one is that one?
Yeah, that one where you can have ads on other sites.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that there's so much potential there, and I don't know why they're not. And so I want to see them do that. But like I said, I feel like they should have already done it.
Yeah.
It was like before they focused on their Facebook app, come out with that for mobile phones. Anyways, I could see definitely where they try to pick up other projects. The only problem, though, is when you watch them do internal projects, they tend to fail, and mostly because they tend to copy other apps. You don't see them, at least with Twitter, they're like, we're doing Vine. Like, it's video, but it's different.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that's cool. Facebook hasn't done something where it's like, oh, we're doing pictures or video or social different. I think until we see something like that, and I don't know if Zuckerberg's got that in him, I was like, it'll just continue to be frustrating for everybody involved.
What's crazy is that, even if Zuckerberg doesn't have it in him, somebody there does. They've got some of the most brilliant engineers in the world working there.
But if you keep asking them the wrong question, they'll never come up with the right answer.
That's true.
And that might be their issue. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Facebook, man, it just in some ways are so one-dimensional.
Yeah, well, that's what they do.
I know.
Google it.
Man, what aren't they going to do this year?
I know.
Another version of Android, of course. Google Glass will be sold to the public, hopefully at a cheaper rate than $1,500.
Probably. What do you think? What's your guess?
$500.
I'm betting $350 to $400.
I thought $300 in my head, but I said $500 out loud. Because I think that's what they would do. I think that they will sell a lot, but not as much as they need to. If that makes sense.
Yeah, they have a PR problem with it. They really do, and that's going to be an issue.
Well, from what I understand, people who – was it you who told me this? People who have bought it, even those who like said they would never take it off just aren't wearing them anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and so I think Robert Scoble was the person they were referring to because he was pretty vocal about it. And it was like, I love this thing. I'm never taking it off. And I think he has. And part of it is reaction. Part of it is it's just not quite there yet. It doesn't – there's something it doesn't do. There are other competitors cropping up, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the really exciting thing is that it has ignited a lot of that. And I think what would be really cool would be to find – you know, Google wanted to build something that would always be there for you, whereas their competitors are finding niche uses to justify this, you know, sports utility type stuff. Like, right. That's one of their big competitors. I think if Google could find an area where – it'd be great to have this when you're doing this task so you don't necessarily always have it on, unlike a watch, but you definitely want it when you're doing whatever. That would be pretty good. That would be really helpful for them, you know.
And, yeah, I could see that for sure. So I see them making progress there. You know, they're going to do that, you know, as they always do. Like I said, Android updates – I don't know what they would add.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that one's, you know,
part of my problem is I'm not a user, and so I don't know the subtleties where I'm like, they really need to fix this. And
I mean, even with the iPhone, it's hard to tell what, you know, your new APIs are going to be and what your next big thing is. I think you're going to see more and more. You're going to see the idea of the unification of Android pushed even further again this year. And what I think you're starting to see is you're starting to see it really be outliers that complain about the fragmentation in Android. It's become really clear that like most core APIs are usable across most of the different operating systems. And for developers, it's not this big fragmentation thing that people are dealing with anymore. And it's, you know, developers are starting to find that you build one or two builds of the apps for different, you know, for different gradations, but it's not like you build a different app for every phone like you used to. And I think that Google just wants to make it get to the point where it's like the, you know, it's like the iPhone. You build four different iPhone apps, basically, when you build an iPhone app. You build the the 4-inch Retina display iPhone, the 3.5-inch non-Retina display iPhone, the non-Retina display iPad 2, essentially, and then the Retina display iPad Air. Mm-hmm. And it requires four different sets of graphics and four different or three different dimensions, right? And the end result is, you know, these apps that is four different apps. And that's really what Google wants to get to, is you build four different apps. I think you're getting to the point where, from a developer point of view, that's kind of where they're at. There's not a lot of problems with that. You know, if it's a well-selling device, you know, thing on the Android, you know, Play Store, it's a pretty safe bet. And I think that is such a big goal for Android that really limits any really cool innovations they want to put in.
Well, I could definitely see too where what they're doing is keeping Android what it is, you know, a stock platform that runs smooth and efficiently. And yeah, sure, there's improvements there that happen, but then doing some of the cool new features, keeping those quote on top of Android. Think exactly what they did with the Moto X. This isn't a part of Android. I mean, it would have been 2 years ago, but
right, they're apps that are built into the UI. Yeah, well, they basically are doing what Samsung does. That's what allows them to differentiate themselves and compete, which I think it's a good plan.
And that's where you'll see them putting their energy and effort is in that kind of stuff. Which, yeah, why not? Totally should do that.
Hey, exactly.
I see anything else happening for Google? Google Plus, you know, it's it keeps making improvements. They mess with the Hangouts recently, which is fine, but doing that. I don't know. It'll keep doing its thing.
If Facebook isn't going to make any big moves, Google Plus isn't going to make any big moves. They want to get, you know.
Okay, I'm saying it right now. Gmail is sticking around. They're not killing it. Sorry.
I almost threw up when you said that, dude. Don't scare me like that. Yeah, that is a good question. What unique service or what important service do we use that they're going to get rid of on us? Oh, you know what they're going to get rid of? I'll bet they get rid of Google Chat. Straight up. Just it becomes Google Hangout, and you have
it's
to use
not already?
Google Plus. No, I mean, well, it's kind of all integrated services, but it's like,
yeah,
it doesn't really go away, but it, you know, I could see it go away and maybe, I don't know.
No, I think it's already gone, isn't it?
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I don't know these things. I would call Google, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hope they don't get rid of, like, Google Contacts. Oh, they wouldn't, because that's, like, a core part of Android. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Calendar.
Exactly. Jeez, man. That was just so rough. It just, like, it rattles me, man. It rattles me.
Well, I think it was Om Malik of GigaOm was just, like, it was after that happened, because he was right there in our camp. He's like, I made a living off of Google Reader, essentially.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I am going to try out Yahoo Mail now.
You have no idea.
I really felt like that was a core service. And
yeah.
Come to find out it's not. And he's like, and I'm checking out these other cloud-based document things because I don't know if they're going to keep driving around. And at the time, there were probably rumors on, you know, is it going to be Google Docs or is it Drive? And, you know, what's that all mean? And yeah, they, you know, I don't know.
They rattled the wrong group of users with that one. They really, I mean, you know, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. What are you supposed to do? Not do it? But I don't know. I just, jeez. Makes me nervous.
They're gonna kill Google Chrome. Like, yeah, we were done. Actually, I heard the sales of those were pretty good, so I guess they'll keep it around.
Oh,
I wish they wouldn't. Just fold that into Android and call it good. Yeah. Are we missing anything for Google? They'll keep doing the car thing. Do you think they'll announce like, hey, we're working on this, and you know, it's 10 years out, but it's gonna be awesome.
I'll bet. I'll bet. Okay. So this is gonna this will so Tesla's already announced that they're gonna announce their next car this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tesla has already announced that their goal is to have a car that does 90% of your driving for you by the time this next round of cars launch.
Cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if Google gets a little bit froggy and says, "Guess what? We're ready to build a commercial self-driving car." I could see them do that this year, especially with the purchases of Boston Dynamic and the whole slew of automated, you know, automation and robotics companies that they've bought. They're doing some big stuff in that. They're really, really moving fast and hard. They didn't buy Boston Dynamics so that they can become a military contractor. They bought that, I think. They bought that for some other reason, and I think in this case it's similar to like with Siri, you know, stuff that happens with Siri. The obvious answer is the right one. Their big automated robotics thing right now that they're doing are cars, and they're buying robotics. They're buying the smartest robotics brains in the world to help them build that and bring that to market. And I could see them do like a Google I/O announcement where they're like, we're pretty much here. We're ready to do this. We're ready to start bringing this to consumer grade cars. We're working with different partners. This is the plan. This is the roadmap.
That'd be cool. I'm a little more doubtful of that, but that would be cool.
Yeah, that's a hopeful prediction. That's definitely me. I'm saying it, I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah. What about Samsung?
Samsung, I think that they're going to keep coming out with like just a I think we got them sorted with our last prediction of they just make a ton of different phones. And they just try so many different things. And it's, you know, I think they're really a big fan of the, they want to move to OLED big time. They want everything to be OLED. They want to make a big deal about that. So they'll make everything curved glass if they can. Uh-huh. You know, they're
talking about the S5 now. Is that their,
Yeah. And I think they get beat up a lot for it being a cheap phone, quote unquote, because it's made out of plastic. I'll bet they change that strategy this time around. I'll bet it's a better quality build phone, and doesn't have that that hang around its neck. And
I disagree. I think they'll keep it cheap.
Fair enough. Why?
Because they sell and they're hitting the price point.
It's a good argument. I wonder if going back to our conversation on how well are they selling. You know, Samsung sells a ton of phones.
It's only in the last couple quarters that they've been missing, and these phones are too far in the pipe for them to change their plans.
Good point. Okay, you win. You win that one.
Thank you. I think they'll come out with another watch, whatever the next version of that is. I don't know if it'll be any better, but
I bet it'll be better.
There'll be improvements.
They'll get rid of stupid features like the camera. They'll improve the battery life. They'll simplify where they don't need features, and they'll improve features where the features are needed. I think it'll be a better. I don't think it'll be worth the money, but it'll be better.
You better let it work with more phones and tablets, and it'll be good.
Do you think they'll come out with any other new product category stuff?
I think they'll stick. I think they'll continue to stay away from tablets. They think the phablet is the space for them, and so they're gonna stick there.
They haven't been terribly wrong. They're doing all right there. So
yeah.
They pretty much own that, actually. Not bad.
Yep.
Cool.
The Canadian berries that are black.
The Canadian fruit company?
I'm going to say it. They die this year.
Oh, man.
They're losing money. They went through a huge shakeup. It's either that or they get broken up in some way, and so they're really not BlackBerry anymore, you know?
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think the shadow of what they used to be.
I think Canada decided that they didn't want to – that they want to keep BlackBerry around. I think it's too much of a political – I think BlackBerry has become a political problem for the Canadian government. And because of that, you know, as a vaguely socialist country, they're not, you know, they're not like America where, you know, where it's
you'll let Kodak die.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they'll file bankruptcy at any point, but I think they decided this year that they want to keep BlackBerry around. And I think it's largely because it's twofold. One of the big things they said that like prevented any real deals from happening was that they basically said you have to keep the factories open, you have to keep building something in Canada with the employees here. And all these other companies were like, what the heck? No, you guys stink at building hardware. Why would we do that? I think the country of Canada really wants to keep those jobs in Canada as best they can. And so they'd rather let BlackBerry slowly die, hoping that they can turn the boat around, then break it up and sell it. I could see it become smaller things, them all be in Canada and in Ontario. But I think the name BlackBerry will be around on a company in
So I looked at their financials because we did this last year, so why not?
Yeah. Which is, it's a completely flipped story.
This time last year, remember they made $9 million. The following quarter, they made $98 million.
Nice. That's a 10% increase. No.
That's a 10x.
Yeah, that's a 1,000-time increase.
Yeah, there we go. But then the following week they lost $84 million, and then they lost $2.7 billion, and then they lost in the most recent quarter $4.4 billion. So that's where they've been sitting at. And let's see here, where are your balance sheet at? Here we go. Total assets. Yeah, see, this is where they're going to get themselves into trouble. Is, again, this time last year, they were at $12.6 billion. And then they went up to $13.1 billion. And they went down to $13 billion. And they went down to $12.5 billion. And currently they're at $8.3 billion. Ah, that hurt. For those of us who are doing quick math, if you're losing about 4.4 and you've got about 8.3 sitting in the bank, you have a problem. That gets you about two more quarters, unless something changes. Three quarters at the most, unless something changes. That's why I am going to reiterate they're dead. They can't survive in their current form.
How does it end?
Well, my guess – okay, fair enough question. Again, my guess is that what they do is they sell part of the company, whether it's I don't know. They sell off the hardware piece and they go, we're going to go all software. I don't know what that means necessarily, because now you're going to go into other – operating systems or something? Are they going to try to partner with other companies? I don't see them sticking with hardware. I honestly don't even see them sticking with software, if I were totally honest, because it's not that great. But they got the patents.
Well, and BlackBerry Messenger still has a pretty big user base, and they've got it on the Android and iPhone now.
Where they do that, you know, where they keep that around, but now they're a company that counts their money in millions instead of billions, and you know, they're, like I said, a shadow of what they used to be. They've got a team of 50 engineers or something that works on it, and that's it. I've, like you said, how could they be bought out if if the government isn't going to let them? I mean, they are like, I don't know, though. You wait two more quarters, everyone might get pretty flexible pretty quick. You know, where BlackBerry goes to Canada and says, you're going to lose this no matter what. So, you know, do you want us to go bankrupt? Or will you let Lenovo buy us? Come on, make a choice. And, you know, or Microsoft for that matter. Which I don't know why Microsoft would buy them, other than they're crazy and they would do it anyways. You know, they got their new CEO coming in and he wants to make a statement, and so what the heck?
Yeah, well, that would be the wrong statement to make.
I would agree. But they can't continue on. But that's how I see it. I don't, as part of the company being sold and what remains on, because I think technically Kodak is still a company.
Oh, yeah. No, they totally are.
They're just not Kodak anymore. And so that's how I see BlackBerry going. I don't think they'll be making phones. I think their market share will drop to zero. Like WebOS, Palm.
I have a really hard time arguing with you on that. I think the name BlackBerry will be on, like I said, I think the name BlackBerry will be over the door of an office building that is open for business in Ontario.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be anything like the company that it is today.
Yep. That's what I think. The numbers are not good.
They're very bad. And they've literally got nothing in the pipeline.
Well, and your biggest problem is, you got nothing in the pipeline. They just got a brand new CEO. and Microsoft bought Nokia. And so if you're for whatever reason not looking at Android or iOS, which I don't know why, but let's just say you're in that position, all of a sudden Windows Phone 8 is pretty compelling.
And it's a good phone on good hardware. Yeah. I mean, I keep coming back to that.
Microsoft can play up the security and the integration with Windows 8, as horrible as it is. They can do it, and they will do it. Plus, they've already got your PC contract. You know, now they can say, hey, we've got a pretty good phone over here. We'll give you a good deal because now we own Nokia, and we don't have to share profits with them. And so, I can see that happening. You know, if you were that kind of company, why wouldn't you? I don't see why you would choose BlackBerry, which clearly $4.4 billion loss proves my point that most people are going, yeah. And, you know, you can see that kind of stuff. You're like, why in the world am I going to buy a phone on a two-year contract when mathematically you're not even going to make it to the end of the year? So why am I taking a risk
hardware,
on this?
You're right. Hardware doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't see how they could also live as software only, other than, I don't know, which is probably the reason why Nintendo doesn't want to get out of hardware, because they're like, yeah, it's not as awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, yeah.
So, okay. Well, Tesla.
The nice part about Tesla is that Elon Musk likes to tell you exactly what he's going to do way in advance.
We're going
to
announce our announcement. You're going to what?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no real mystery here.
They're gonna come out with a new car. I can already show you what a concept looks like.
2015. It's gonna be more affordable in the ballpark of 30-40K. They're gonna announce it this year. He wants to build an automated driving car, and he wants to sell that in like 2 to 3 years as well. He wants to go to space some more because he likes that project.
Don't blame him.
Yeah.
Solar power via Solar City will continue to blow up.
Yeah. He keeps making a lot of money now. And I think it sounds like there is a group that's gotten together with the whole Hyperloop thing. And he might become part of that in a bigger capacity, is just sort of the face of it, if nothing else.
Cool.
But I don't know where they would build it. California is the obvious answer, but it's the obvious answer because I want it to be the obvious answer.
Come to Oregon. It's such an obvious answer.
I know. They're all obvious answers. Oh, you know what we skipped on Google? Google Fiber.
Oh.
They're going to roll out to more cities. And back on to the
video games.
Video games. So I think this year, obviously, I've kind of gotten into the whole Oculus Rift thing and the Steam Machine things. Mm-hmm. I am super stoked on both of those. I'm really excited for what Oculus Rift does. I think they're going to come out. Their plan is to come out with some hardware this year. I think it's going to come out. I think it's going to be really well received. I think people are going to spend some serious chain on it, some serious coin on it. I think people are in the mood to buy new hardware. It's just kind of it's the right year for it. People are in the market. They're looking. Xbox One and PlayStation were super expensive. So a lot of people didn't go out and just buy stuff right away. Or they did because they can afford it and they like spending money on this kind of stuff.
Curiosity. At the end, let's see, this will be interesting. At the end of next year, which console will you think will have sold the most?
PlayStation 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it costs $100 less.
I guess that's true.
And I think...
But they're kind of neck and neck right now, aren't they?
Not really. No, yeah, they PlayStation 4 is, yeah. PlayStation 4 is outselling in some markets, the PlayStation 4 is outselling Xbox like 2-1. It's nuts. The PlayStation 4, I have not seen a box with the PlayStation 4 in it. Now, the Xbox was completely sold out of Target when we went there on Thursday, so it's not like the Xbox is selling poorly. We had to go to the Microsoft store to find one.
Thankfully, there was no one inside that store, so they had plenty in stock.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We didn't even call ahead. We were just like, where would we go to buy one? I was like, Microsoft Store. Tim was like, Microsoft Store. Yep, you're right. And we It was actually a really good
experience. I love picking on them.
I know. It was a really good – I got to give them credit. It was a great buying experience. It was on par with the Apple experience.
Cool.
Apple Store. They, you know, they know what they're doing. I mean, it's – and especially for buying video game systems there, it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you're going to buy an Xbox, buying it from the store is pretty fun. In the same way that buying it from the Apple Store is fun. But what was I going to say? Yeah, I think the PlayStation 4 is going to have a really big lead. Xbox is still going to sell like crazy, and I think the general feeling though is going to be this: that the Xbox is a little bit of a better deal overall. People really like the Kinect, even just being able to talk to it. Yep. But the whole navigating without the controller is a big deal. Mm-hmm. They did a good job.
Well, that's why I would think that it would compete pretty well despite the higher price.
But it's mostly driven by gamers, and that's two games.
I guess that's true.
You know, but I think long term, I think the Xbox does better than the PlayStation 4. Sort of like the PlayStation 3. You know, long term, the PlayStation 3 has outsold the Xbox 360 every quarter for like the last 12 quarters.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they, you know, I think it's a better long term strategy. And the reality is, you sell so many of both systems that developers don't really care. They realize that they can make a ton of money by building games for both. It's worth the money. There's a big enough. You've crossed the tipping point of a big enough market share.
Fair enough.
And so I
well, think and I can see too with them, you're investing millions of dollars into making a game, and so might as well make them cross compatible.
Exactly.
I actually read this really cool article, and I didn't link to it because it was actually last week. I was asking the question, how do big game developers transfer files back and forth? Because they're like, they've got distributed teams, and these files are, you know, gigs and gigs and gigs, and they're like, you can't email that stuff out. And so they were talking about how they have created these systems to – you know, where they're doing Delta file changes and stuff like that. And they actually ultimately ended up going with BitTorrent to transfer the game files back and forth so that you could, again, they were all distributed across the network. And so you could actually download it pretty fast at a reasonable rate.
That's cool.
But they were talking about all those problems and the things have gotten smart enough now where they can be developing for say Xbox and PlayStation. And they go, 90% of the code is exactly the same. And so now it stores just one copy of that part of the code. And then it knows, oh, okay, this is for all of it. This is just for Sony over here. This is for Xbox. And when you say, give me the Xbox code, it grabs from the Xbox part and from the core, you know, from the both section of it, and then it just gives you that one. But yeah, I mean, I guess that would be a pretty big technical hurdle when you're transferring 50 gigs of data.
Yeah, those
for
files
a game.
Are unbelievably big. The uncompiled code is nuts.
Yeah, but that's what they were saying is that most of it's the same. So if you're spending, you know, millions of dollars developing a game, you might as well spend another million or two to make it cross-compatible. Because like you said, the markets for both are big enough that it's worth the investment.
Right. And then
Nintendo, you think they'll still be around?
Yeah. I think they'll do fine. You know, I honestly think Pokemon saved them.
Wow.
Just I have enough friends that I went out and bought one, including me, because of Pokemon. And it was it marked something of a difference in the market, and I've seen more and more people with the DSs of some various level. And once you've bought the hardware, it's hard to, you know, it's easy to justify buying a game or two.
That's true.
You know, and they actually came out with a game that moved hardware.
Hey,
finally, I know it's a big surprise that's the trick. And hopefully they do that with the Wii U. They come out with some game that moves. I'm guessing Smash Bros. Will do well, but we'll see. But yeah, the Steam Machine, I don't know.
I'm mixed on that. Probably will not move as fast as you want it to.
And yeah, you know what? That's okay. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to try my hardest to justify buying one, and I'm going to be really disappointed by how poorly it does. That's what my prediction is for 2014.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I will live vicariously through you.
Yeah. Video games in general.
What it means is that I need to come to California when you're around.
Yeah, I know.
That's what
I got
means.
A pretty sweet setup, dude.
I know.
I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I'm trying to think of if there's any particular games in 2014 that are going to be a big deal. But once again,
probably.
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. I'm not going to predict any particular games. I just don't know enough. I guess, is Hewlett-Packard doing anything big this year?
Oh, so HP is just finishing year 3 of the turnaround, which is supposed to last 5 years.
Right.
So the idea was year 1 and 2 were cut and slash and, you know, do that kind of stuff, fix places that are broken. Year 3 was so we were expected to not do well, I guess. Not necessarily lose money, but, you know, massive negative growth. Year 3 was a year of flatness. Again, trying to turn the ship, which happened. I think we slightly missed, but, you know, whatever it is where it's at. They said for year 4, which is what we were just getting ready to enter, they should see some return to growth, and then year 5 is like, all right, yeah, we made it. It's all good. And so you're starting to see some of those innovative products. Like this last year, right? We saw HP launched, man, how many was it? It was like 7 new tablets or something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. How many? I saw this really cool chart back in the summer where they plotted, they had all these different market segments. It was super cool. It was like functionality by price, essentially. And what they did was they added all the different tablets, you know, on this continuum, you know, with the iPad, like way up and to the right, essentially. And then they had each of those broken up into different types of customers and wants or needs. And then they had existing, like I said, existing competitor products on that map. And it was cool. You could see some definite obvious gaps in, you know, in different markets.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in that meeting they said, and we're going to fill these 7 right here. Guess what? They came out with 7. And they were all to hit very specific markets. And so they did that. That was part of that, you know, hey, we're going to do the turnaround. With the PC side of things, it was, hey, we're going to make some sleek-looking, awesome PCs. I think HP was highly disappointed, just like everybody else, with Windows 8 and that, you know, kind of stunted ideas there. But like I said, they, you know, like, yeah, we're going to keep coming out with stuff for that. Get big into the convertibles. Meg Whitman has publicly stated HP is going to get into the phone game. That hasn't happened yet. I don't know of any plans for it, but I'm guessing somewhere, something, HP is working on an Android phone of sorts.
A palm phone?
Yeah, no, not a palm phone, crazily enough. Now we keep coming out with Android tablets, so I'm going to guess that we're going to do an Android phone.
Probably. Fair enough.
You'll be able to print from it super easily. I know that. That's that works pretty well. I also know that, you know, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff in the server and services space, but I don't fully understand it. So I won't comment too much on it from a consumer standpoint. They've also got some cool things with printers, but that's, I know too much, and so I don't know what I can and can't say.
Fair enough.
But, you know, every year they come out with, man, it's unbelievable, you know, 2 to 8 new inkjets and 2 to 8 new laserjet printers. So, you know, they'll do the same, just like they have every year. And, yeah, I think they'll hit where they want to hit. I remember, and I think I shared this story where when Meg came on board, you know, and someone asked him, like, all right, Meg, you know, what are you going to do? What's the next big innovative thing? And she, you know, Meg in her line, she's like, I don't know. I'm not a brilliant engineer who invents products. She goes, but what I do know how to do is invest in ideas that seem promising, which is why, yes, we're going to lay off some people, but we're going to take that money and put it into R&D in the certain projects. And she's like, quite honestly, it's up to you guys to do the research and to do the work and to create something awesome. And if you can do that, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, no pressure. And, you know, I would say that that hasn't happened yet. There's been some slight improvements. But I don't think we've come out with anything yet where we're like, yeah, this is the bee's knees and this is going to sell for the next 20, 30 years. I just haven't seen it. So, I don't know, maybe it has, and maybe she forgot about that awesome little speech that she made. I don't know. Yeah, that's where I see HP at.
Cool. I like it. I don't have anything. My prediction
know,
is what you
so
said is right.
Super unexciting because it's just Windows 8, man.
Microsoft.
It ruins everything.
It brings us
Microsoft,
too.
I predict they will have a new CEO.
I know. Do you have any predictions on who it'll be?
Nope, neither does Microsoft, which is the funny part.
You know what? Touche. I was actually gonna throw one out there, but I think you make a good point.
Well, it's like the people who it's funny, they will mention or somehow in the rumor mill, a name will get thrown out there.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, that CEO and or company will be like, oh, actually, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. No, I'm not looking at all.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Mulally, the CEO of Ford, was the you know, the classic one. We're like, oh, it's going to be him because he came from Boeing and then he went to Ford and transformed it. And he's going to do the same thing for Microsoft. And it was like, actually, no, he's got an agreement through the end of the year. He loves it here. And
yeah.
You said you're going to pick a new CEO before then, so not going to be him. And
yeah.
And there's been a couple others where, like, actually, no, I'm not super interested in that whole beast. So who knows? Maybe Wig Mittman goes, let's move up the stack. Let's solve that.
Yeah.
HP's in year 4 of its fix-up. We're all good here. No, I don't think she would leave.
No.
I would require her to move, and that's no fun.
I was going
to
say, she likes Palo Alto. She likes the Bay Area.
I know. She's a celebrity there, which is fine. I don't know who it will be. You know, I'd be shocked if it was someone from Apple who went over there or Google. Though, I mean, Marissa Meyer went to Yahoo, I guess. So,
you know, except
does happen.
There's one that you haven't mentioned. Who's open?
Zuckerberg?
No.
Wait.
He recently sold the company he was captaining the ship of.
Heinz Thorne.
Oh man, Stephen Alop.
Oh no, I don't see that happening. No way.
You sure?
I'm sure.
I mean, he did what he did his job. He tanked Nokia so that Microsoft could buy it. You know, they got to pay him back somehow.
Yeah, I don't. So I
think it'd be a horrible
objectively,
idea.
Here's a guy who went over to another company and essentially killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want for your leader? Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just – their problem is that they need someone who's innovative and organizational and highly competitive and somehow can ignore what Bill Gates has to say. And
right. And don't forget, he also has to be able to exist within the current corporate structure
yeah.
of the people
and
who are going to hire him.
And has experience and doesn't come from too big of a competitor. And you know what I mean? You just like yeah. these things start to line up and you're like, I don't know. You know, they
think
know.
Think a no-name maybe. Somebody that we didn't even heard of.
Or you go, oh, yeah, I've heard of that person, huh?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And what will be really frustrating is they'll hire some chief operating officer, someone who's
right.
really good at that, not some visionary person, which is, you know, like a Scott Forstall. That would be like – there's a part of me that's like, that would be cool.
It would be
cool.
You know,
because he would come in and be like, I've got ideas. Let's make this happen. I left on bad terms with Apple, so I want to beat them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then put someone underneath him who knows how to get it done.
Windows would actually have windows in them.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be hilarious. There'd be birds everywhere. And, you know, I could totally see that. And he won't, obviously. What I mean by that, obviously, but I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah.
They've got a short list of people they're talking to. I hope. That whole thing is a mess. And I think until it gets resolved, you're going to see that company kind of at a standstill. Sure, they've got stuff that's already in the works and kind of running through the pipe. But, you know, so, yeah, you'll see an update to Windows 8, you know, 8.2 or whatever it is, and hopefully it'll – I don't know. Hopefully it'll do something.
Yeah, seriously.
So you'll see that kind of stuff. But I don't see them – you know, and they just came out with the Xbox. So – you know, they're not going to be messing with cars. They're not going to be any new crazy product areas.
I think the most exciting part about Microsoft for the next year is going to be Nokia and what it's doing abroad and in developing markets
and the
stuff.
CEO thing. That'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From a product standpoint, yeah, whatever Nokia has to offer with their phones and tablets, I think is cool. Fix Windows 8, please, for my job's sake. And for Apple, you know, bring the competition in. It's awesome.
Yeah, seriously, guys. Come on now.
Yep.
Okay, I guess we kind of talked about Snapchat.
Yeah, we did.
To make it official. Yeah, we did. We made it official.
They're around. They'll keep growing. Still no revenue model.
Yeah, and if they don't get an adult at the head soon, they're not going to make it long term.
My economic prediction, because I did that earlier.
Yeah, please don't make me throw up again. I appreciate that.
So, who was it? It was our mom sent us this article about stocks going up, and I think in my reply I included you in it because you weren't in the original thread. Because she was like, hey, it looks like stocks are predicted to go up. Yeah, I believe it. I know you're going to hate to hear this, but I see 14 as it's going to be another good year. Fine. A lot of growth. I don't think the market will grow as much as it did this last year. I think there might be a 10-point correction before it gets back to growth somewhere in there, which I think is fine. I wish it would be bigger, to be honest, but that's a different, more technical conversation behind that. So don't just take that for what it was. And I think that it's going to be relatively strong. When you think about the business cycle, it really started the upswing in 2007, and so we're right in the middle of it. So there's no reason for it not to continue along. It's just still not as hot as it should be at this point in the cycle. But we still got a couple more years of whatever this is.
That's fine. You know what? I can deal with that. I know. Things are fine. Things are good.
So all that to say, the economy is not going to be an excuse either way for company. Yeah.
It's not gonna be overly promising, but it's not gonna hurt them.
Yep.
All right.
And depending on which political party you lean on, it's either really good or really bad, depending on which articles you choose to believe.
Yeah. So general tech trends for 2014. What's gonna be your big ones? Okay, I'm gonna throw this one out there real quick and easy. Graphene, man. I think we're gonna keep talking about it. Like I said, unlike carbon nanotubes, I think this one actually has legs. I think you're gonna keep hearing more and more stories about people coming up with more and more incredible things that you can do with it.
Yeah.
That'll never see the light of day.
True.
But I actually think you'll also start to hear more and more real manufacturing techniques coming to you know, where people are saying, yeah, we figured out how to do this thing that we've been wanting to do that has a practical application in a, you know, in a manufacturable way. I don't think you're going to necessarily, you know, hear any big, it's not going to like, it's going to take over the, any big market, but, of consumer grade stuff, but I think it'll be, I think this year will be even more promising than last year, which was even more promising than the year before, for that new super material.
Yeah. That makes sense. I can see that. Did you know that IKEA is selling a, you know, do-it-yourself, make-it solar kit for your home?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
That's cool.
From what I understand, you know, you obviously assemble it yourself, because that's how they work, and then you put it up on your roof. And from what I understand, it's relatively reasonable. I don't know the efficiency of it, but, you know, from a price standpoint, it's getting there. It's interesting. I was talking with a builder in earlier this month and just asking about some building trends. And one of the things I asked him about was solar, actually. Because I had just read an article that morning that was talking about how, like, solar sales were up some ridiculous number, you know, like 40%. And but it's off of a small base, so, you know, there's that. And so I asked him, I was like, you know, do you see solar as this trend where more and more customers are starting to ask for it and things like that? And he was like, honestly, no. He's like, the consumers still want a bigger house for the money that they can get, and at least in the Corvallis area, that was true. He goes, but what we have done is they now build every single building ready for solar. So, like, for example, they put all the vents on the north, is it the north side? Yeah, or the north and west side. I don't remember. There's two sides where you want to keep them free because they get really good
sunlight. Right.
I just don't remember. And he goes, but we build every single house now so that it's ready to rock and roll. And you can just, you can install them up there in a nice big flat surfaces. And so it's ready, for, especially for new home construction. And it's just something where I'm just waiting for that equation to flip, right? Where the cost goes down just enough and the efficiency goes up just enough where you're like, yeah, I'm
honestly
in.
So I'm, you know, I mean, this is reading the tea leaves in a big way, but when I went to Semicon this year, the solar side of the show is notoriously more boring than the Semicon side, because the Semicon, they've actually got like robots to, like, displaying like they, it's, I mean, it's, there's actually cool displays. The solar side, it's solar cells. It's the most boring place you could ever walk around. And there were more people there. You know, there was more energy. There were more. Now, granted, like, some companies, like, set up full-on bars where they offer you, like, free alcohol and, like, that one, helps. You know, yeah. And they'll, like, they'll hire super pretty girls to, like, you know, talk to you about their products. I mean, they go out of their way to try to spice it up a lot. But I think just in general, 2013, the industry was way more optimistic about photovoltaics. I don't know if that necessarily means anything for 2014, but – you know, like you said, there's an equation, and at some point, at some point you cross that, you know, the tipping point, and it makes sense to make that investment. And,
well, it's like they talk about with trucks, you know, because those guys do the math, because that's all they're doing is driving, and they said at some point in time the math, and for them it's really predicated on gas prices. It makes sense to do certain investments. So, like, you know, they were going along. And then all of a sudden, trucks popped up with spoilers everywhere. And it was, you know, gas prices tipped, whatever that number was. And they went, oh, it makes sense now to buy the spoiler and, you know, save on the wind factor because the gas price is now high enough. And now when you look around, I'm sure you've noticed a lot of them now have those really long flaps underneath the bottom of the truck.
Right.
Or the trailer. And that's because, again, gas prices got high enough where they went, yep, makes sense to make that investment because we've calculated and we know the savings for these things. And, you know, and so, you know, so they do them and you see homes doing them. Now, what I found was also interesting, and I can't remember if I read it or heard it, but they were saying, like, companies like SolarCity are just, like, growing like gangbusters.
Right.
People are like, yeah, sign me up. I'll pay you guys for the next 20 years. No big deal. So those are growing huge. And I think just because I live in Oregon, I don't see it as much. But I would imagine places in, like, Texas and California, especially Southern Cal, you know, are just seeing huge growth of those types of deals. People aren't quite willing to do the capital outlay for them, but they're totally signed up for those types of
And you're starting to hear like different cities in different countries. I can't remember the specific city that it was in, but so there was a huge deal. Might have been in America. It doesn't matter. But the point was that they wanted to change how the subsidies, how the taxes worked, because and for like putting money back into the meters and getting money back and stuff, because what they were basically was saying was that like they were getting enough solar power during like the peaks where essentially these houses were, you know, maybe it was they wanted to end the buybacks. Because effectively what was happening was they were like pumping money into the network during the low periods and pulling power out during the high, and they were coming out neutral. They're basically, you know, it didn't cost anything.
Wrecking havoc on their system.
Yeah, yeah. And they basically were like, you're destroying the finances of these power plants. We can't do this because
I can see that in the winter, the summer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's no. That's exactly what it is. Now that I'm actually saying it out loud, that's exactly what the problem was. Basically, what was happening was you have to keep the power plants around and running, and they are hugely expensive. And they're only affordable because of this huge, you know, wide distribution of tons of people putting in a little bit of money. And essentially, what was happening was it was getting to the point where there was enough solar power that was. They were getting paid for putting money into the network during the sunny periods, and then as soon as it's like nighttime, they're pulling power off of the power plant where they were not making any money. They weren't paying the power plants anything, and so essentially the power plant was saying at some point we don't make enough money anymore to keep our doors open, which will become a real big problem for you when the sun goes down. So let's figure out this deal. You know, like we've got to figure out there's a balancing act here. Well, the question, that's one obvious answer. But the thing is it's like everybody's got, you know, they're public utilities, you know. And so it's like if essentially we, you know, you pay a scaled in that mentality, you pay a scale tax. Yeah. And so it's like, what are you supposed to do? So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. Not necessarily one that now that we're coming up on the third hour of the show, the fourth hour.
We started it at 9. We're good. Oh, the end of the beginning of the fourth. I'm with you.
And I do have work in the morning.
Sucker.
I know. But, you know, it's...
Okay, so solar was one of the tech trends that I think it'll continue to take off and continue to be a big, big thing. I will continue to wish that HP played a role in it, and they will continue to not, and that will continually make me sad. I still think home automation is something where we're going to see some super cool stuff. I don't see any washers or dryers per se. There was an article where GE actually created their own little mini accelerator for startups, and they showed off one of their, you know, latest innovations as a result of this accelerator, and it was a refrigerator. And people were like, you know, this blog was making fun of them because like, oh man, you went through all that effort and you got them all accelerated and you came up with, wait for it, a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And you're like, big deal. But, you know, it shows that companies like GE are like, hey, you know, there's this home automation thing and we're already doing light bulbs. Let's go after some of these appliances and, you know, can we start getting to make them talk? I don't know if they'll get it. I don't think they'll actually get it done this year. But I think we'll hear whisperings of it and see some concepts of it, and that'll be pretty darn cool. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I will get my Lockitron this year. I'm predicting that that will happen. I was supposed to get it in December, but apparently they had some sort of manufacturing snafu, and so they stopped shipping for a while, and I have no idea where I am in line. So,
I understand that.
There's that.
I think one of the things you're going to see is you're going to see more and more electric cars coming to the market. And,
that's what Jesse's prediction was.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. You're going to hear more announcements. You're going to see more of them. And because Tesla's proven that it's possible, and that's going to keep moving that direction. I think security, and I think this year, if I'm not mistaken, there is on the docket some really really interesting
Supreme Court cases for, you know, what the government can do and how they can do it. And, you know, my personal opinion is this is where everybody realizes that I wear a tinfoil hat most days. But I think the NSA is a rogue agency that nobody really controls, and they're just horrifyingly terrifying. And so we're gonna try to, you know, scale them back as much as we can, but they don't really listen to anybody anyway. So good luck. But I do think that that's, like I said, I think that's actually going to have some real impact on companies that are selling servers and computers, because it's become abundantly clear that American hardware and software has back doors designed for the FBI and the CIA. And there are companies that we don't do business with because they're Chinese companies in particular that we don't do business with because they've got back doors that the Chinese government, you know, had installed, and we know it. And I think you're going to really see, like, you know, you're going to see an appreciable impact on the ability of companies to sell their cloud services abroad, American companies, because it's, you know, we spy on our citizens, we spy on everybody, and I think it's going to be a big problem, you know. And I think you're going to hear more and more and more about that in 2014. I think the only reason Snowden's not going to die a mysterious death is because it would be way too suspicious. I think at this point we're actively
trying. There's no reason for him to die, right? I mean, he's already leaked it all.
I think at this point we're actively trying to keep him alive because we think it would look that horrible if he, you know, fell down a staircase on accident, like for reals on accident. Like we got somebody there to catch him just in case. Because, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And then, trying to think if I want to make any, you know, if there's anything really bold.
We're going to Mars. Yeah, no, we're not.
Not quite yet. We are going to keep working on it.
No flying cars, unfortunately.
We're going to keep working on that one too, though. No breakthroughs in power. I don't think so. No, you know, NIF's not going to do anything this year.
Another year of incremental mind-blowing innovation.
I know. The future's amazing and everybody's disappointed. Yeah.
Very true. Hey, awesome, man. I think it's time for us to call it quits.
Me too.
Because it's getting late.
Like last year, we could keep going, but nobody wants us to.
Yeah, I think we've worn our welcome. That's right. So, everybody, thanks for listening. We truly appreciate it. My name is James Furlow. My brother, what were you? What was I?
Phoenix Rising.
Ah, yes, yes. My Phoenix Rising brother is Matthew Furlow, and so we will talk next time, next year.
Yeah. Thank you.